Tonight, Patty gets you ready for Wizard World as we chat with Ralph Macchio and Jason Mewes. We'll also check in with our costume guy, Cortland from Chicago Costume. But first, it's Thursday, so Dan Katowski and Scott Stantis ride sidecar. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh man, I am so excited. We do have all the audio from Ralph Macchio and Jason Mewes. There's a moment where, you know, you're doing an interview with somebody that's not live, and I have that moment of anxiety where I'm like, maybe that's not actually going to happen. Even though didn't record or didn't, you know, none of the mics were on or something. I talked to Ralph Macchio today.
That's awesome.
I was such a geek.
You didn't stand. No, see, I could not resist standing next to him and doing the crane.
People asked me if I did that or, you know, made. I didn't make any of the jokes because I wasn't starstruck as much as I was 12 years old again and excited to see David.
Was he a nice
Harrison.
Guy?
Oh, super nice.
Really?
Very nice guy.
See, isn't that the worst when you meet like your hero and they're jerks?
Yeah, I haven't met that many of my I don't know about heroes, but yeah, I mean, I haven't met that many people.
You know
I admire.
Who the biggest jerk I ever met who was like someone who this will stun you.
Oh, please tell me.
Stun you. Yes. Are you sitting down?
Okay, so hold on a second. Can I stand up just so I can sit down?
Yes.
Can I sit down? I'll sit down. Okay, go ahead.
Andy Rooney.
Really?
Was
I can see that.
Absolute.
Sure. He was a crank.
He was horrible. Well, you walk up to the guy and, you know, this is the guy. You ever wonder why they have, you know, where shoelaces are made? And you figure this is going to be the nicest guy you've ever. No, he was a. He was an unpleasant person. No, it was weird. I walked up to him twice and we were covering conventions, and that's, you know, so there's a journalist kind of cabal, and they figured you'd have the same courtesy. No, I said, I'm the cartoonist for the Chicago, for the, at the time was the Memphis Commercial Appeal. He goes, yeah. And he walked away.
Really?
Dan Katowski's walked in. Hey, wow, what's
with
this?
The shirt.
Is he announcing something?
That was for Patty's birthday.
Yeah, Illinois State Senator.
Dan Katowski.
28th District, yes. I will wear this very proud. Did you give me a large or a medium? What do you mean? What do you mean a medium would be snug? I just want to know what that means.
I'm gonna
how to say everything on the air. I have no filter. He texted me and asked me what size t-shirt I wear, and I said medium, and he said, "Won't that be snug?" And I you know,
what?
I'm telling the world that you said
what
that
a jerk.
Me.
I can't say the other word because apparently we've run out.
I have to, yeah, you can't say that.
I assume
it's because we were watching my CrossFit videos and you know that my shoulders are getting very
You're getting huge.
You're huge.
You're very muscular.
Did you say that?
I said sinewy.
Yeah, don't do that anymore.
Why
you know
not?
What? The word you said and sinewy, don't say those words.
I went to U of I just like you.
Banned.
I went to University of Illinois. Big Ten educated.
Glad you said Big Ten. What is happening? The show just started. Can we rewind this and do it again? Andy Rooney, apparently a complete jerk, but other words were used. By the way, I ran into John Cass today. He said, please don't call him anymore.
Oh, and he did?
He actually did not say please. Maybe he did, but he leaves
don't
his...
Don't blanking call me anymore.
No. Yeah, he may have said that.
No, I know John.
Yeah. And he said he was blaming you, and I told him it was not you.
It wasn't me!
I said it wasn't you.
I know. Why doesn't he...
That's what every criminal said in the history of
it wasn't me.
Our world. It wasn't me!
It wasn't me!
Well,
ask anyone.
He actually had the audacity to say, well, you're starting to drink the Kool-Aid up there now, aren't you? Because I hate Donald Trump, like, a lot. And he's just convinced now that I'm like
Does John Cass like Donald Trump?
Oh, I don't know what he says, it's all about the Supreme Court. I'm like,
okay.
You should vote for Gary Johnson.
Well, that would also be the Supreme Court. Well, how does that help Republicans if it's Gary Johnson?
It doesn't.
If he supports pro-choice, if he supports, he actually believes in the separation. He doesn't think that churches should be protected as much as they are. As far as the First Amendment, I think
he'll have reasonable choices for the Supreme Court.
How are you doing, Senator?
I'm doing great.
You know,
I was thinking about when I knew John Cass back in the early 90s when I worked over at the City of Chicago Community and Transportation Public Way, and he was covering it, and he loved Elmore Leonard, the novel.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave me
Get
a
Shorty's
of his
a
books.
Great a great
yeah,
movie.
He and gave me 52 Pickup and another book, and we used to talk books all the time.
And not politics?
Well, yeah, a little bit, but it wasn't like, you know, you know what I mean?
John's a reader.
He has other interests, yeah.
John's a reader. He's a lover, too.
That was
he's a really sweet man.
One of the
he's
funniest,
got really nice soft edges to him.
One of the funniest phone calls I ever got in my entire career. Did I ever tell you this story?
I don't know.
Short. I was working at the Birmingham News. Just started, first couple of weeks. Someone calls. I'm working at night. She goes, who's that guy who draws them pictures? I go, well, that would be me, sir. He goes, he just goes off and just says, well, let me tell you something, college boy. You come down here, college boy, and tell us what you're thinking. I said, well, I've got one thing to tell you, college boy. And he just keeps saying that. And he finally takes a breath. And I said, I had to jump in and say, I have to correct you, sir. Actually, I'm a college dropout. I never got a college degree. I'm not a college boy. And there's this long pause. He goes, well, I guess you're just one of them book readers, ain't you?
But John Cass said that?
No. This is a
I was so confused. I know.
I was following him.
I know.
I've been around with him for a while.
Yeah, you just got
his synapse went another direction.
I know. And I'm the same way. I just can't. It's hard watching somebody else do it.
Why are you so surprised? Now you know how we feel.
I know. I just had. I get it. Now
welcome
I understand
to
listeners.
Our world.
Yeah. All right, then. By the way, before I take this break, I have to say I got a birthday card yesterday. Apparently, one of our listeners, their favorite thing I've said all year is that when you clean your litter box, make sure it's front to back. More after this on 720 WGN. By the way, Senator Katowski, who would you pick as your all-time favorite? Who would be your, like, around Santo?
My all-time favorite Cub?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably...
Or Crosstown, maybe?
Probably the Hawk. It was Andre Dawson. I loved him. Thought he was a great player.
Here's the thing. Shoeless Joe Jackson would be in there somewhere, even though he was banned from baseball. This is Crosstown. This is either.
I don't think about
you weren't listening
White Sox.
To me.
No, I wasn't wanting to get it. I would say my favorite White Sox player of all time is Pauly Konerko.
Oh, there you go. Really?
Yeah, I loved the Pauly Konerko.
I like the big
great
hurt.
Competitor,
Frank.
Yeah, he
ooh,
was terrific.
That's a good one,
it
too.
Was.
Cortland Hickey's on the line with us, and he is the – are you the owner of the – well, he's the costume king of Chicago. Hey, Cortland, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to talk to you again. You were so gracious and generous with your costumes when we did Comic-Con. So we're coming out there tomorrow to the Portage Park store that you have to try on various costumes. I'm excited.
I'm excited. Comic-Con's my favorite time of year. I just want to mention that Andre Dawson, for sure, my favorite.
Oh, that's a good one, too. They were showing Sean Dunstan videos last night at the Cubs game, too, and that was a good one, too.
How come?
They used to do like the greatest on the. Oh, how come what?
Why were they showing Dunstan?
Cortland, have you been? Are you a Cubs fan? I'm guessing you are. If you say Andre
Dawson,
of course. Well, have you been to Wrigley since they put up the big TVs?
I have not.
Oh, it's so weird now. It's sort of distracting because you know, for decades, forever, there were no big jumbotrons, and now you're watching TV at the game.
You call them like a big TV.
The big TV.
It's the 50s.
That's what it is. You're watching TV
you
with 30 or 40,000 of your closest friends.
It's a mammoth.
I'm gonna turn your microphones off so I can talk to Cortland. You guys are you're done.
Well, last season, right when they started the season, they had a new audio system installed, and I'm about a mile south of the stadium, and I could hear it in my house. I could hear the organ music when they first turned it on. So it was really wild.
It's almost like you're like, how it feels surreal, doesn't it, to have it be that sort of? It's almost invasive.
Yeah, no, it was just for a couple of days, and then they figured it all out.
they tweaked it.
I was like, what's going on? My neighbor must have the game on really loud. And I was like, wait a second, they don't play the organ music. There's a commercial time.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you have a big weekend. Have people been coming to your store to get items for the Wizard World?
Oh, absolutely. And we also have a big booth there at Wizard World. So I've been there all day today, and it seems like a really good crowd. A lot of people are very excited about it. A lot of cool things going on.
What are the popular items this year?
Well, I saw a lot of people dressed as Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad. I think that's going to be a very popular costume, not only for comic book conventions, but for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Deadpool stuff. That was also a big movie.
Yep.
So there's a ton of people dressed as Deadpool. And then the big, big thing today, and I think it's going to be all weekend, is Pokemon.
Oh, no kidding.
It's all over the place. Adults, kids, everybody was playing it. Everybody was getting the gear, the Pokeballs. Just everything.
Yeah. So, are you playing Pokemon Go?
I play Pokemon Go, yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay. If you ever come in the studio, we have a drowsy for sure. Once in a while, we have a Jinx. We're trying to make this a, what do they call it? Like a gym? But I don't know how. We haven't figured out how to get that done.
Well, both Chicago costume locations are Pokestops.
So. Oh, are they really? Yeah.
I'm
going to be Pokestops. Senator, I'll turn your microphone back on.
Put it on.
Oh, you turned it on already? Scott, would you like your microphone on as well?
Yes.
So do you, when someone comes in, let's say a Senator Katowski comes into your store or political cartoonist Scott Santas comes in and they just aren't quite sure what to wear to a, do you help them out a little bit with picking out a costume?
Oh, always. I mean, but you know, what you're going to wear is definitely a personal choice always. But we try to show people lots of different options. We definitely have something for everyone.
You really do. There's such a wide range. You don't have to just do like characters or superheroes. You can do period pieces, which are really fun too. You guys do everything from flappers to antebellum, huge costumes. You have like knights and things like that. I see you, Senator, I see you as a Robin Hood.
I see you
with...
Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Not a little John. Yes. I'm sorry. I was a minion last year in the...
Aw.
And I got, and it was good, but although I got real, when I got sweaty, that yellow, you know, it was like streaming and I started to get really kind of.
Oh, wait, you were painted yellow?
I did. I got the makeup, that yellow makeup and the minion glasses and everything.
Well, that's a great thing too. Tell everyone the name of your Chicago costume, right?
That's correct. Yeah, Chicago Costume Company.
And you have one in Portage Park, the address there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 4727 West Montrose, just east of Cicero, in Portage Park / in the Mayfair neighborhood. It's right off the Kennedy Expressway. And our main location is at 1120 West Fullerton, right across from DePaul University.
If your
makeup is running, I can definitely help. I've got plenty of product to help you solve that problem in the future.
Thank you. Yes, that's
seems to be fine right now.
I'm not wearing any right now, but I'm trying to think of it. There's not a lot you can do when you're, follically challenged, Jen. You wear a wig or you kind of, put a lot of makeup on your cabeza.
Well, we have a spray that you can put on that'll hold it on there all night.
Really?
Mm-hmm. See? Wow, and you thought you were a lost cause. Not in this situation, you're not. But
you're so good for my self-esteem. Thank you.
There you go. Now, Corlin, how did you get involved? Is this a family business?
Yeah, it's my family business. My mom started it back in the 70s, and now I pretty much do everything. Wow. And my wife is involved, and my young daughter poses for costume photos all the time. And,
that's cool.
I have a newborn. I'm sure she'll be posing pretty soon in baby costumes for Halloween.
So very cool.
So, what did you when you and your wife were started dating? When you knew like you were into costumes and stuff? That she was like, hey,
yeah, you show up at the door and says, honey, hey, there's a pirate here for you.
Was she intrigued?
I did show up in a red and white striped jacket with a boater hat and sang her a song one time when she was in college.
What was the song?
I don't recall the song. It was like the WB song, I think.
Hello, my
honey. Hello, my good time. Got the frog song. Whatever.
That's fantastic.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
She was scared to death, actually.
But she stuck around. That's the important part.
Yeah, she thought it was really cute. You know, so
that's cool.
That's wonderful.
And she just thought I didn't hire an actual singing quartet. So it's just me.
It's just you. Well, and I think that's nice. You're like, why hire somebody else when you can do the job yourself?
Of course.
That's what I've been saying for the longest time.
Where was the first location? Where was the first store, Cortland?
It's right here on Fullerton. It's our main original location. So. I still live here. I mean, I live above the store. We own the building. So,
that's fantastic. Sort of
the same place I grew up in, you know.
And so how did the expansion happen? Because at what point was there such a demand throughout Chicago? Because it does seem to be a business, and I think right now it seems to be on an upswing. But were there sort of peaks and valleys to the demand for costumes in Chicago?
There's always peaks and valleys. I mean, like any small business, it's a labor of love, and you have to really put yourself into it if you want to make anything out of it. But, right now we're in a positive place with the superhero fever and the fact that people are wearing costumes more often. During the recession, the past recession, things were pretty bleak and there was not a lot going on. But we are fortunate to live in one of the greatest cities in America, and lots of things are going on here, whether it's TV or film or theater or special events, corporate events. We do all kinds of different things. And then just people doing theme parties and every holiday that you can imagine.
And do you have a buyer who decides, who goes out and says, what we need now are more, gangster sort of costumes, or we need more of this particular, we're having.
Yeah, that's basically my job. Yeah, that's one of my jobs.
because when I was there, I mean, I borrowed one for my son Griffin, the Flash, which was, it's such a great costume. And I was a rock star because you let me borrow that for a couple of days. He just loved wearing that. I mean, he was stopped everywhere at Comic-Con complimenting him on that. We told him where he got it from, and I mean that was such a well done costume. So many of the pieces that you have clearly are professionally, and not just that, but it's just different from everywhere else I've seen rentals.
Well, you know, I look for these things. So that flash is really cool. It's got a magnetic symbol, I think, on it. So that
yes.
you can take it on and off. Yeah, that's a really cool one. We do make a lot of our own costumes, or we take something that's existing and make it better, you know, just to make it more authentic. Yeah, you know, again, it's having an eye, it's paying attention to what's going on, what movies are coming out, what people are talking about. That's why I love the comic book conventions, because you get to hear people, you know, I never heard of Deadpool before. But the movie, you know, obviously with the movie, but before that, I heard about it at conventions, and I knew that people were really into it. So I knew the movie was going to be, you know, people were doubting the movie, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a huge movie. Everybody's really into this. And so I knew that, you know, I felt like, oh, look, I'm ahead of this. First time in my life, I'm ahead of it. I know about this thing before everybody else does. Same thing with Pokemon, too. You know, not that I knew that Pokemon Go was coming out, but I could earlier this year kind of feel that there was definitely a lot of interest in Pokemon apparel, Pokeballs, like, you know, I get ahead of the game, and then the game came out, and I was like, look, I've got all this stuff already. I'm so
excited. Well, you said you had a booth at WizardCon, is that right?
Yeah, we have a...
What do you do? Do you rent costumes there, or what do you do
there? Well, we sell stuff. I mean, we sell costumes, and we pass out flyers, and we have, you know, one of the things about the comic book conventions, obviously, we have regular, everyday costume wear, and, you know, Mario masks and all kinds of cool latex masks, but it's a great opportunity for me, at least, to bring out some really, really cool collectible items that, you know, are just not things that people often come into the store for, but are sought after at these type of conventions. Like, we have a number of really cool, like, Lord of the Rings, you know, screen authentic type of things, collector's item, like the helmet of the Dark Lord Sauron and the...
Ooh, do you have a Gandalf one?
Yeah, I have a Gandalf staff. I have...
Oh, excellent.
Really cool metal helmets and things like, you know, hundreds of dollars, really. I mean, they're very expensive items. We keep them in cases here in the store, but it's a really cool opportunity at the conventions to bring stuff like that out and say, oh, look how cool this is. And
What are the all-time best for the five best costumes?
Ooh.
The five best costumes?
Yeah, all-time.
Well, I mean, that's a very open statement.
You mean like popular?
Yeah, the most popular.
I bet Batman's at the top of that.
Yeah, Batman and Superman, definitely. But, you know, very ambiguous ones. I would say, like, ninjas, you know?
Oh, yeah. Sure. A lot of ninjas.
Ninjas, priests and nuns, you know? They don't go out of style. People dress up as those, you know, every... Doctor, you know, I mean, it's like
right.
Doctor,
yeah, right, doctor. Right. Doctor Nunn. That's what I want to do.
I always say, what do you think is your best costume you have there? That
what is my best?
The coolest, coolest costume.
It's like trying to choose your favorite child. I mean,
I have one. I'm not going to say it on the air.
What's your favorite child?
I love really you, cool, son.
I have one of my favorites is a Frankenstein costume. I got the 7-inch tall boots, and it's got this really cool,
that's really cool.
Chest plate. It's like an airbrushed chest plate, and then it has these really cool leather neck straps and wristbands that have like fake chains on them. So he looks like he just escaped, you know. And it's a really, if you check out our Facebook page, you can see a picture. I'll post a picture on there tonight.
And that's a great point.
Of myself in the
my
wife
really?
And I, before we had our first child, I dressed as Frankenstein and she was a mummy.
What?
So she was a mummy.
The greatest couple.
One of our favorite all-time outfits.
The things people do to get in the mood. It's really... we're
not going to judge, Dan. This is a safe zone.
Since when?
So, Cortland, again, people can go to... What's the website? ChicagoCostume.com?
Yeah, just Chicago Costume. No S on the end, but just ChicagoCostume.com.
And then your Facebook page to see a picture of you dressed as Frankenstein.
Yeah, I'll post it in a few minutes here.
Any chance you'll be at the store tomorrow? Because we're coming by. We have a whole crew. We've got one of our regulars.
No, but you know, my mom is actually going to help you.
And what?
My mom has been, I was trying to, you know, I saw this commercial for WGN Radio the other day about, it was like this young girl and her mom always had WGN on the radio. And then she like moves out and she's living alone and she's like, misses her family, and then she turns on WGN, and it makes her feel, you know, like it remembers home again. This is just the commercial. Like my life, you
right.
know. My mom has listened to WGN Radio since the day she moved to Chicago, like 1974 or something like that. So it's always on. It's literally like in her work, where she's making costumes, in her house, in her car, you know, in her workspace. So she's going to help you out. She's a lifelong WGN.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. What's
her name? Her name is Mary, And she has a big picture of Bob Collins there, right when you walk in. So you'll see, you know, she's been around a long time, so she can't wait to help you out tomorrow when you, you come by.
Well, we're so happy to be part of your family then, too. Thank you so much. And we've been talking to Cortland Hickey. He's the family business of Chicago Costume, and we'll be there tomorrow at the Portage. If people want to come hang out and try costumes on with us, we're shooting some
video. What time are you going to be there?
People have to figure it out. I don't know how specific I want to get. We'll be there around 4-ish.
Awesome.
Cortland, have a great night. I look forward to meeting you sometime in person. Yeah,
I'll
see studio.
You at the convention this weekend, right?
Oh, yes, you will. I will stop by the booth. Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Have
thank
a great
you.
Night. More after this on 720. Bye. After this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, and State Senator Dan Katowski. Every Thursday night, we get together and talk about things in the news. You know, sometimes politics, sometimes other things. A particular, you know, jumping off point for us are cartoons that you generate, sir.
Yes.
I saw your the cartoon for sending how to free our swimmers in Brazil.
Yes. President Obama saying that he could send them $400 million in unmarked bills. I made it too long, but the rough originally had him, and we can throw in four ISIS terrorists. But...
Yeah, because he started the.
Yes, he sent the $400 million, which was not ransom, unless it, of course, it is, which the State Department today said, sure it was.
I don't typically really laugh out loud at Scott's stuff. I don't know if I've crossed like threshold. Yeah. You know, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, you just kind of looped around.
I thought, right. What's happening?
Yes,
but that's very funny.
That's funny.
That is a very funny cartoon.
What a bizarre story.
Which one?
Ryan Lochte, who...
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand. What, the $400 million? Let's not. Let's
Who's going to quibble? If it was $399, it would be a better story.
Yes,
right?
You know, last week, Gabby Douglas was taken to task for not putting her hand over her heart during the national anthem. And
why didn't she?
Why didn't she? Because it's not a protocol. You don't have to. As long as you're standing.
Of course you don't have to. Yeah.
Okay, then that's all there is to it. And here's this swimmer who is apparently people are saying, oh, well, you know, they're having a good time. Things got a little out of control. They ended up in an argument with a gas station attendant, you know, and then one thing led to another. And, you know, it's really ridiculous. This is bad behavior.
Well, they now have a security camera video of them being jerks.
Yeah. Good times. That's it.
But why would you know where the story came from? His mother.
Yeah, he called his mom and said that he didn't have his wallet because
he was held up.
Held up.
So she talks to the media, who gets the story that he was robbed in Rio, which, you know, frankly, is one of those stories that you kind of go, well, that makes some sense.
Right, because there's so much, you know.
Yeah, no, he lost it because he was drunk.
Are you not familiar with the story?
No, I'm very familiar with the story. I just can't believe he told.
He told his mom.
Yeah, that's so great because there are no better detectives in the universe than your mom, right? Than moms. Like, moms should just take over Scotland Yard or whatever, right? Because you say something to your mom, and we call it with my mom and her aunts, we call it the CSCS, the Conley Sisters Communication System. So when you drop something, it just spreads like wildfire. You'd say, that's what would happen to me. I'd call my mom, oh my God, somebody stole my wallet in Rio. Oh my God, what happened? I was held up. And of course, I wouldn't make up anything like that. But if my mom would call somebody,
sure,
and then they'd know somebody in Rio, and then they'd talk to the police, and they'd be like, well, I heard you were held up. I'm like, how'd you hear that? And I'd be in Rio, and they said, well, I heard it from your mom. Like, where did you talk to my mom? Well, she talked to somebody in Detroit, and somebody called somebody in New York, and then
next thing you know,
someone's on vacation. They're on a cruise in Rio.
They just happen to be able to swing by.
For an elder hostel, and then they find, you know.
Yeah. See, my mom's the other way around, mm-hmm. is that you will tell her something, or she'll hear it from something else, and then it just gets telephoned and turned all around.
Where it's not even the original?
Yeah, and I'm just like, where did that even come from? She gets all these ideas. She always tells me, it's like, your dad said that on Facebook you were yelling about something, and then you were going to hit something. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have no clue what you're saying.
Wait a minute. Your dad follows you on Facebook?
He does, but he doesn't really know how to use it.
Okay.
So it's them just seeing things or a picture, and then she just starts like telling. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Something about hitting something. Or
that's
I'm like, I don't know, Ma. What are you telling me?
I'm so glad my mom doesn't follow me on Facebook. That, I mean, like, she listens to my show every morning, so that's how she catches up with my life. Yeah. You know, but so far, I don't think I've crossed any lines recently as far as stories about my mom, because I love my mom.
Yeah.
There you go.
You never say anything. No. I've obviously adore her.
I've told stories. I will say this. When I used to be a guest on, like, Steve Cochran's show when early on, my mom would tell me not to laugh so much. She said I laugh too much. Your laugh is annoying.
Really?
And that was my mom. So I was like, imagine people who don't like me, what they think of my laugh. So that really twirled around in my head a little bit.
We know what they say.
But that was years ago. The tweets? I don't have any. Do I have any?
Was it excessive laughter, though?
I mean, probably. I mean, yeah. I was probably nervous, too, you know, early on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You had a great laugh.
But yes. Mom was trying to, you know, she wanted to make sure I came back. And I did come back, and that was hearing her advice in my head.
So when you came back, were you like,
you, Steve Cochran, are very funny.
You're a humorous man.
Why would I be Santa Claus when I come back?
I don't know. It's the first laugh that came to my mind. I'm sorry.
Have you ever had someone tell you they love your laugh, and then you, like, start thinking about it, and start hearing it?
Yeah.
And now you're like, what did they like about it? What was it?
Yeah, what was it? Then you try and work it, and you can't.
No.
Because once it's unnatural, it's like
it's gone.
It's forced. Yeah. It doesn't work.
Remember, we caught hell for laughing too much on one of your shows.
Well, because we keep people awake who are trying to drift off. So so we try to bring the tone down a little bit for those of
titter,
you.
Titter, titter.
But then there are people driving, so I don't want to make them sleep. I mean, I got my choices here. People who are having trouble turning their radio down and still listen to the conversation.
Which
and people who are driving.
Which public service do you serve?
We got some truckers out there who have a lot of work to do. They get our goods from one town to another.
Absolutely.
Sure that, you know, the God commerce continues.
We want to stay awake and alert.
We got a lot of third shifters who are working, trying to stay awake. We have friends around the world. We have Davide, who I don't think is up yet. We'll like say hi to Davide maybe toward the end of the show.
Oh, the pop star?
No, Davide is our friend in Italy who has been learning how to speak English by listening to my show. Did I never tell you this?
Cool, no.
Yes. Craig and I spent about a half an hour trying to figure out how to say Davide.
Davide.
And we're fairly certain we landed on the correct. He tweeted at me that we had found the right pronunciation.
Oh, nice.
Davide. He
pronounces Davide. English very much like your mother.
Yes. Well, and the other thing is I speak quickly. There's no getting around that fact. I have a Chicago accent, but I also learned English kind of. I mean, like I had Spanish and English at the same time. So I speak quickly to just get through it sometimes because I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen.
See,
next.
I would have guessed you were from California when we first met. Yeah,
isn't it weird when someone tells you again what your laugh sounds like? Isn't it weird? but something like that their perception of you. Because I remember someone in high school. I had a drafting teacher who made some. He was talking about like I didn't know what it was like in neighborhoods like his. You know, you grew up somewhere with a lawn and all this stuff, and I was like, I grew up in a one bedroom apartment sharing a bunk bed with my dad. We had a sidewalk on Northwest Highway. I don't know what you're talking about. And that was the first time I ever realized like who you are. Like it's you can't control the way people perceive you.
No.
And you just have to let it roll. Why California?
You don't have an accent.
Okay.
You don't. Dan is from Chicago.
Yeah.
Dan, more importantly, Dan is of Chicago. That's right, my friend. I will tell you this, my friend.
I have to tell you one of the most insulting things ever. My wife and I went out with, she was working for a firm and they were all consultants and they were the kind of people that say to you, oh, that was an excellent point you just made. Like in conversation,
right?
They like overly complimented you and it seemed very artificial. And this guy, we went out to eat and they take him to these fancy dinners. And I said, I was talking to him and he's like, you know, I heard you on the radio the other day. This was back in the 90s when I worked for the Illinois Council Against Handgun Violence. And he said, I heard you on the radio the other day. And I said, oh, he's like, you sounded good. Very Chicago.
Oh, that's
and I was like, what?
That could be a compliment.
I was this close from taking a swing at him, but my wife worked.
Which would also be very Chicago.
Yeah, very Chicago. You want to see Chicago?
I'll show you Chicago.
Yeah, it's Chicago coming your way. Count the tree,
my friend.
We have to take a break here. By the way, coming up after midnight, we are doing our Hillary's Hurlers. The situation is that we haven't gotten any suggestions. The point of doing Trump on Wednesdays and Hillary on Thursdays is to, you know, sort of round out our take on what's going on politically. But it has to be stories from Wednesday to Wednesday and Thursday to Thursday. Scott, I it sounds as though you have a
no,
quote,
I don't. That she's running a really smart campaign right now. She's sticking to the script.
Mm-hmm.
laying low and just letting Trump self-destruct. And it's, you know,
So maybe listeners have to call in at midnight, after midnight, and tell us what they have noticed over the week, or send us a link to something. You can text us at 312-981-7200. You can call us. So that's after midnight. We're doing Hillary's Hurlers. Last night we did our Trump trackers, and there were some. I can't say what they were because we don't talk about that on Thursdays, only on Wednesdays. I know. You got to come on Wednesdays then, Senator, to talk about that.
I should.
Yeah, all right.
But
then.
It was your birthday, and I was celebrating.
You too?
It was a day of silence. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and Senator Dan Katowski, who is dancing up a storm, and apparently it was a rain dance. I'm not sure what I did there.
It worked.
Did you like that? Yeah.
Wow.
What happened? This rain came.
Is it raining where you are? Because
well, where I am. I'm right here.
I know,
I'm right next
I'm talking
to
you. It's not raining where I'm in.
The literally tens of listeners we have right now. It's pouring downtown Chicago. I mean, wow, I didn't know that was in the forecast.
I feel like leaving this jam on for you, Senator.
It's great.
I hate
song.
Jam.
Yeah.
Dan actually sneered at me because I said, who is this?
And he's like, who is this? Is this Britney Spears? I'm like, no,
I did
it's
not
the
say
Doors.
That.
It's Gary Johnson's band.
Would you rather have, what is this, awesome. Is this more your thing? A little more there.
Is it? Clapton.
No.
You don't even know.
Not even
you don't even know. This is terrible.
Well, if you played like Mozart, I'd probably pick that up.
Oh,
oh,
my God.
I see what happened
You're
there.
One of those guys.
I am
here,
one of those
just
guys.
Big
here, let's
guys.
Help you out. How
I'm
about
usually
this?
Pretty good on
How about this?
Oh, that's Bruce, of course.
Okay, with it. Oh, I probably should turn one of those off. I got too
You're
many
mixing.
Buttons.
You're.
I know, I'm mixing.
Wow. wiki. DJ Petty Beats. Oh, Don Henley, I love this song.
Yeah.
Okay. One of my favorite songs of all time.
What it's going to make you say, okay, let's make that stop. Let's just don't do that.
I didn't want to hear, but I knew
yes,
that it would
it's
come.
A sudden downpour, which apparently, I'm guessing if you were looking at a weather map, we would have known it
it's
was
coming. It's a deluge.
Deluge. Is that another one of those U of I words?
Deluge.
They didn't give me that on the list when I was there.
I've been studying all day long for this show.
I appreciate you that.
You going to Patty's show tonight? Get some word of the day.
Yeah, checklist.
Deluge.
I don't even know what we were going to talk about. Oh, you're very excited about the third party candidate.
I am.
Also the fourth party candidate or just the third party?
Jill Stein is interesting. She had a town hall on CNN and she...
I don't think your candidate should just be interesting.
Well, no, I don't think she's not charismatic. She's not... I think Johnson is charismatic. Weld is... I think maybe more so many people who watch those two. Mm-hmm. Weld is a former prosecutor as well as a two-term governor of Massachusetts, so he's a lawyer. He speaks like one. He structures his arguments that way.
Did you just point at Dan like he was a lawyer?
No. Oh, I'm just talking to him because he's looking over here. Right, and I'm doing my hand gesture here. Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And Gary Johnson is the two-term governor of New Mexico. First off, we were really lucky. We had him on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Go to WGN Plus, and you can go to the Prickly City Podcast and listen to it. And we had
a podcast.
I do.
He does.
That's kind of like Arnold having a chicken stand. Do you remember?
What
that?
Is wrong with you?
Yes,
tonight,
what?
Seriously. Why can't I'm gonna turn your mic off for the
Why
rest
are
of the show?
Doing that? What? That's pretty funny. He's got a podcast. You have all these things going on, and then, yes. You know, remember when...
I hear a little bit of jealousy coming your
house. I big time envy. When Arnold had a chicken stand, nobody knew, so...
I don't really know the reference. I'm sorry, I apologize.
You don't know?
What's Arnold with a chicken
That's
stand?
On Happy Days when... Whatever, it's totally dated reference. And then Arnold's like, well, you got to have chicken, because I have a chicken stand. They're like, Arnold has a chicken stand? Anyway, for those of you listening,
was it chicken sandwiches? Was
no,
it?
He had chicken that he was selling, and nobody knew. He had a drive-in, and it was a big deal for him.
Okay, since we're talking about Happy Days for a moment, because I was, okay.
Thanks for doing this to me on the air. I was feeling really good. Thanks for breaking down my Arnold chicken sandwich.
I'll go ahead and say you're feeling a little
thanks.
Too good.
You're doing the whole
we just walked all
Katowski
over
medal.
How do you think Scott feels?
He feels fine.
We were promoting his podcast, and we went from his excitement about the presidential campaign of Johnson and who else?
Weld.
That guy. And
Tuesday Weld? Tuesday Weld is running for office?
And you would get so Arnold ticked off at me when I would dismiss you. When
you know, the fact that Patty's backing you up means this is like, this is bizarro world.
No.
I'm struggling right here.
I'm belittling him as well.
Are you? I know. I can't catch him.
No, Pat Morita. was he on Happy Days? I was
Arnold. Oh,
he was Arnold, right?
Is this Three Degrees of Patty?
But who was the other guy? Pat Morita. But wasn't there another guy who owned the
Al? Yeah, took Pat, over.
No, Al.
Right.
Al. Pat Arnold was the original. The
first. Okay. Yeah.
Then Pat Morita came on. You're right.
Wait, it was Alan then Pat
no,
Morita?
No, it was Pat Morita first.
Was he first?
Yeah, see, Arnold. Arnold was
the
guy's
Arnold. Last name Del Vecchio.
Al Delvecchio
was
That's
the second
right.
one. Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
right.
You're welcome.
So thank awesome. You, Rob.
Does he know about this?
He came across the newsroom to help us out.
Does Rob know about Arnold and the chicken stand?
Do you know about Arnold and the chicken stand?
Yeah.
See?
I don't know what you're talking about. Why
did
he have a chicken stand?
Mm-hmm. I really
don't know.
Nobody knew why.
This is why Johnson's not going to get into the debate.
Why did he jump the shark? I mean, you know.
Oh, I don't understand. Was it okay? So, what? But it was Al that was in the rest of the seasons by the time the shark happened, wasn't it? Rob doesn't want to. He's like, I have work to do.
I think it was Al first, and then it was Pat Morita second, right?
No. Arnold was the initial.
This is going.
Was he Arnold?
Yeah, Arnold was Arnold's. It was
I'm
named
sure
after Arnold.
Going
right,
somewhere.
Yeah.
I know where it's going.
No.
Right, I got work to do.
Okay. He just came over
shut
and helped us out.
You shut it down.
No, I interviewed Ralph Macchio this morning. We're going to air that interview at 1 a.m. And
no way.
I did. I'm sorry I didn't invite you. He was lovely, really kind guy and very nice, very funny, charming. And he had some great stories about Pat Morita, and that's coming up after 1 a.m.
Sweet.
Very cool. I also interviewed Jason Mewes, who plays Jay from Jay and Silent Bob and all the Kevin
Smith
movies.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that was wild, too. He has a lot of interesting. He is everyone I talked to when I said I was going to interview Jason Mewes said, oh, that guy's had a really tough struggle with abuse. And I didn't want to. I let him bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard him talk about that before.
Yeah, so really interesting guys.
And excellent.
That's coming up after 1 a.m. So you're welcome to stay. I need someone to call for our wake-up call tonight, by the way.
Oh, I got somebody.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that... Oh, yeah? Okay, good.
He's on my podcast.
Okay, so here's what we're doing. After the midnight news, we're going to do Hillary's Hurlers, and if we don't get any suggestions as to what to talk about as far as her campaign and what she has said this week, I don't think there's been much, but correct me if I'm wrong. So 312-981-7200, call us after midnight, and let us know what we should be discussing in terms of the Hillary campaign. Do you have anything? No?
Yeah, well... Talk about it after.
Yeah, midnight. Hillary's Hurlers sure. coming up, and then we have What's That From coming up at 12:15.
Awesome.
You get so excited about that.
I love that.
You're way too. There you go. I like that.
I'm looking for.
You're gonna dance now, aren't you? I know you're looking for the jukebox.
You know, in their song, they never mention a chicken stand.
They never mention it. There you go.
Don't.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with the news with Rob Martier.
Wait a second.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by State Senator Hick Kotowski and political cartoonist, Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. It is Thursday night, and we save all of our stories about Hillary Clinton from Thursday to Thursday. We save all those stories, anything that's happened in the last week, for tonight. And I didn't come across anything, so I said, please let me know. And actually, this is for all week. Anything from tonight through next Thursday, let us know things that catch your attention that Hillary says, anybody in her campaign, because last night we talked about Rudy Giuliani. On Wednesdays, we do Trump trackers. Thursday, we do Hillary Hurlers. And Larry has something he wanted to bring up in this conversation. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Hi, good evening. I'm the guy who called many weeks ago saying I wanted to donate to the draft Senator Kotowski to run for governor of Illinois.
Thank you, Larry.
Hey, anytime, you know, if somebody wants to form a committee, I'll throw, you know, my money in. You're my man. I'll go for you.
Larry, I couldn't agree with you more. He's one of the few Democrats I can think of that I would actually vote for. So, yeah.
He makes sense.
High praise,
right?
Or I just destroyed his career.
Good point.
Speaking about Mrs. Clinton, Secretary Clinton, a couple points I mentioned. One, she held a meeting today, a listening meeting, with a number of police chiefs from around the country to hear their ideas, which is, rather than her doing all the talking, she actually spent the time listening, and these police chiefs were doing the talking as to what could be done to improve the relationships in their cities. I mean, we're talking about New York, L.A., a number of large medium-sized places to improve the relationship between citizens and the police, given that that's such an ongoing problem. although it was obvious the Chicago was not included. I mean, I guess we're going to kind of be like the black hole of the country because of all of the news press of it. And the second thing was, if you look at her website, they've updated I'm an economist, and so I can appreciate this, where they're not using the term, but the modern phrase or the current phrase to describe the U.S. economy and pretty much most of the developed world's economy is secular stagnation. Because typically, as economies approach full employment or somehow get near it, you should expect to see inflation, or that was the old thought. And we're not seeing that. We're not seeing improvements in growth, economic growth. And so she actually comes out, rather than the other candidate's conclusion that his policies will lead to 4% growth, she comes out and says it probably won't lead to any improvement in economic growth. Even the proposals to increase spending on infrastructure improvements, which is she's probably lowballing the reality, because we haven't had any fiscal stimulus to the economy in the 6 of the 8 years of President Obama's presidency. So those are the two updates.
Larry, where do you stand on that as an economist? Where do you stand on stimulating the economy through public works and things like that was proposed under the Obama administration and was resisted by the Republican legislature?
Oh, yeah. Once the House flipped in 2010 to Republican, that ended any attempt, because what Japan, if I could kind of bring in another country, what Japan has now proven is that monetary stimulus can't work entirely on its own.
Right.
We've kind of seen that here in the United States with all the attempts by former Chairman Bernanke and the Federal Reserve to stimulate the economy. And he did a great job saving our economy, the world's economy, from collapse in 2008, 2009. But we just haven't had that oomph, that dramatic growth, because there hasn't been any fiscal stimulus. And it's the same thing here. Nothing. The only thing that's happened fiscally in the United States, President Obama, if you remember, to keep the government going, because Ted Cruz wanted to shut the government down 4 years ago, he had to agree to cut government spending. And, you know, we desperately need both fiscal and monetary policies to work together, hand in hand. I mean, this is what, you know, the last time we had super economic growth, and people think it was Reagan. No, it was not Reagan. It was Eisenhower, when we had, in the post-World War II period, in the 50s, we had 4 and 5% economic growth.
And that's under a Republican president.
Under a Republican president. We had Democrats and Republicans working together, and we got the economy rolling. We didn't fall into the predicted recession after World War II ended. The economy just roared along.
So, Larry, I need to I think that I get the sense that Scott would like to comment on a few things, or do you not want to?
No. I think he's absolutely right. I think, although I'm trying to think, I know the Eisenhower expansion, but the Reagan expansion, if you subtract or not subtract, but the Bush shallow recession and going into the 8 years of Bill Clinton, you had the longest expansion in our history, in our nation's history. Isn't that right?
Well, we had an expansion, but not the size that we had in the 50s. There was growth of between 2% and 3% continuously, and short of that Desert Storm recession in 1990 under the first President Bush. Yeah, you're right. There was growth, but nothing as dramatic as everybody says during Reagan's years. We had this dramatic stimulus and an increase. No, and the other interesting point is, in terms of job creation, there's been more jobs created during the Obama administration than during the Reagan administration, just in terms of job creation. But we have a bigger population. We have more opportunities for working as well. But I think it's interesting that Hillary is lowballing the growth stuff so that people can't jump on her and say that she's taking the typical Democratic position of, you know, increased spending is going to create government jobs. I mean, we have fewer federal government workers under Obama than we did under George W. Bush. So the moral of the story is I think she's taking a better perspective. She's presenting a rational plan. And I think, like I said, I think she's lowballing it, although with the rest of the world kind of stagnating and struggling, it's going to be tough for us to be the leader. I mean, look at Switzerland. They have negative interest rates. You have to pay the bank to take your money.
Right.
Right.
Well, Larry, I appreciate all of your insight.
Sure.
And we always enjoy the conversation. We will talk to you again soon. I think it's great that we had a Hillary's Hurlers segment and that didn't really have anybody.
No, she's being very quiet. She's playing it very, very smart right now.
Well, there you go. So, Senator, anything
else? I just loved when you have conversation about policy and then information is cited but said, but you know what? What could be behind that information is that there's more people, like,
right?
Because people like to say, well, more jobs than ever have been created, but there also are more people and more of an opportunity,
right,
for that statistic to quite potentially be misleading, right?
And right. So that's why when you hear things like 150,000 to 200,000
right.
jobs are created, well, that's great, but there was also say 400,000 people entering job market.
It's the kind of thoughtful discussion that people shouldn't be afraid of having.
No, it's math and it's evil. That means it's
right.
Science.
I don't
believe it.
It's just, I know, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the perspective. But Larry said something very interesting to me that, which most people aren't aware of, and I've brought this up before, and you may not recall, there were 81,000 state employees in Illinois about 10 to 12 years ago. And it's the number of state employees is down to about 47,000. And it's dropped precipitously. And it's just, you know, part of the reason is because people retired and because there's less money allocated to programs where people who are state employees were doing those jobs. And it's just, but most people aren't aware of that. And so it's just one of those things where, and the question is, I think it's any number of the sectors that are working together, they're working in concert. It's not going to be just spending through the government. It's, you know, it's spending that is a byproduct of growth in the private sector and the nonprofit sector. What was fascinating to me is when we figured out how much you know, bills that were owed and how many jobs were at stake as a result of these bills that were owed, and in Illinois, and it was literally you know, when the justification for the revenue increase that occurred in 2011. And there, we were talking, I think we factored in it was about 55,000 jobs at stake. If you figured out their jobs on average were being modest, like 40,000 per job. But it was literally like, you know, it was about 55,000 jobs. And it was just as a result of not paying bills. And that was the impact to the economy if we weren't going to pay for these services. And there are people who work, and one of the things that people are mindful of the fact is that the people who receive government support aren't just people who are like by getting entitlements. They're people who have contracts for state services who
right.
work in the private sector.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Private sector companies, and they do a whole host of business in the state of Illinois, and that's another interesting discussion that people don't normally have. So. I appreciated the dialogue, what Larry brought to the table.
Well, because, you know, when we have these conversations, one, economics makes me crazy. It's macro, micro,
right.
mac and cheese, I don't know, guns and butter. And I spin and try to figure out, like, where do we get these citations, jobs created, whether it was more under Reagan or under Bush, what were corporate profits?
Right.
They were much higher under Obama than they were under Bush. Obviously, unemployment changed, and people will say, oh, well, that doesn't count the people who quit looking. And so there's always these numbers that we can't, we can cite whatever we want, pretend that, like, you we could. Can stand behind them. And
there's a number that came out today that, and this, your jowls were dropped because it's actually.
Jowls? Did you say jowls?
I said, I think I went southern all of a sudden. Your jowls will drop.
Do I have jowls, Esmeralda?
Your jowls.
I don't know what happened.
under the Obama administration, 2.5 million mid-range salary jobs have been created. You never hear this, and you haven't. And it's interesting that the Democratic Party hasn't really played that, because the perception is the rich got richer, the poor got poorer. We got a lot more poor people. We got, you know, the 1% did much very well. In fact, there really was a pretty good performance in terms of creation of middle class jobs, and I think that should be applauded. That's a good thing. As an American, wow. I think this is a good thing. You know, I'm sorry, I love this country.
Let's just enjoy that. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And by the way, I traveled to Philadelphia last week. Have you guys been to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Did you not like Philadelphia?
Not
you sound
a lot.
You sound very curt about Philadelphia.
I was covering the Republican convention.
You sound very Scott about Philadelphia.
You sound very Scott.
Sorry.
You can use words that are not, you know, necessarily curt. What would you use instead of that? What other word would you use besides curt? Abrupt?
No, I just didn't sound enthusiastic about it.
You, Scott, you sounded less than enthusiastic.
I'm less than bullish on
Philadelphia. He's not bullish on Philly.
What was it for you that struck you as a
dirty, kind of run down? Independence Hall is amazing. I mean, think about what happened there, Liberty Bell.
Did you go to the Franklin Institute?
I did not.
Oh,
I was
great.
Covering the Republican convention. I was actually working.
Did they not let you go to the Franklin Institute?
No, they said you're a Republican.
It was prohibited.
Yes.
Prohibited. Oh,
media nut.
Banned.
Did you get a chance to enjoy some good food? Not the, yeah. I know people love the cheesesteak sandwiches.
I do, actually. That was
you
great.
Like that?
Yeah. Did you have a cheesesteak sandwich? Sorry,
I had a
you.
Bite. I don't eat red meat as much.
Oh.
I'll have some once in a while. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I had a hoagie that was really good.
Wow.
I will say we went to Camden, New Jersey to their Adventure Aquarium, and it was awful. unspeakably bad at the Adventure Aquarium. And I have a friend who lives in Philly, and she goes, "What'd you expect? You went to New Jersey."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Wow, that's intense. They're right across the river. Why are you gonna be so mean about it?" But their Adventure Aquarium is so, I mean,
what's so bad about it?
The way it's organized. So like when you come up the, so you buy your tickets at one wall of the building, and then you walk around the entire length of the building, and you walk inside, and you immediately have to take escalators up, or an elevator in our case with a wheelchair. And you have to walk through this huge food court in order to get to any other part of the aquarium next. And everything is very narrow. So on a packed Saturday, when there's a heat index of 103, everyone wants to go somewhere air conditioned. Everyone was there. And it was a nightmare. I shot some live video for Facebook with Declan there.
So how does it compare to our
The Shedd Aquarium? Is palatial and pristine and just fantastic. It's the best place on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Shedd Aquarium is wonderful. So it's a wondrous place.
If you want to see fish, don't go to Camden.
Don't go to Camden. I mean, go look in the river.
Giant fishbowl with like goldfish in it. That's kind of, and what's it like?
Well, they have a shark tunnel that was kind of cool.
A shark tunnel?
Yeah, so you walk through a glass tunnel, and there's sharks swimming around.
Oh, neat.
And they have a great hippo. I mean, there are good, you know, exhibits, but no.
A hippo.
No.
Phone booth,
but okay. So this happened. They have a hippo phone booth. Have you ever had a situation where you know you're getting away with something and you don't quite know what to do? This was a moral dilemma I had. I needed change for a 20, and I went to the ice cream stand at the Adventure Aquarium, and I was standing there with Griffin, and I asked the girl. I gave her a 20, and I asked her for a 10 and 2 fives, because Griffin wanted to get something, and it only took $5 bills in this machine. So she didn't know how to open the register, so she asked someone to come over, and the girl was kind of snotty with her about opening the register. Like she didn't know how to do it, and she was kind of mean about it. And then the woman stood there, and as the girl was taking out my change, I saw her take out a 10 and 3 fives, right? And I was going to stop her, only the girl goes, "How much money are you giving her?" And the girl like waved her off, and said, I got this. And I didn't say anything because I didn't know what to say because now it's like a battle between the two of them. And I didn't want to prove her wrong to the woman who was being kind of bitchy to her.
You are a bad person.
I gave that whole $5 to a violinist. Who See, was playing. I swear to God, yeah, ask Griffin.
It's okay. You made it right in the universe.
There was we were walking through City Hall and there was a guy playing the violin and Griffin walked over. He goes, can I give him money? I said, give him the $5. And we walked over there and he goes, do you know what song I was just playing? And I said, no. He said it was written by Jackie Gleason for his variety show in the 1960s called Melancholy Serenade.
No, so
that all came from the $5 that I got at the.
See, you made it right. You made it right.
I put it back.
The
in
karmic
the
balance
yes.
was put
restored.
Is that the sound that goes bom bom bom?
That sounds about right. Yeah. It wasn't with a horn; that was with a violin. So I'm having a hard time placing it.
On a banjo.
What's that from? This is our What's That From?
No, 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 no.
Okay, so here's the next.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
You got a pretty mouth.
It's a mouth band over here.
What is going on?
I don't know.
I like, you know, nobody could do a violin, though. It's a hard instrument to mimic.
Michael Winslow can do it quick. Who's Michael Winslow?
Maybe. Michael Winslow?
Yeah. You know who Michael Winslow is?
Oh. Sure. MW. Great guy. Mm-hmm. What is he? Is he?
He was the comic in Police Academy movies who does all the sound effects.
Oh,
I worked with him. He closes his show on a whole light show with fog and everything, doing a Jimi Hendrix, the national anthem.
Oh, that's super cool.
With his mouth.
Is he a nice guy?
Very nice guy. Oh, very sweet. A little weird, but very nice guy.
Macho?
Weird is good.
He's a little quirky, I think, is probably the best way.
You know, what would we do without quirky?
Kind of quirky where, like, we go to shake his hand and he bows. Like, it was just, quirky.
I'm going to do that tomorrow. Yes. I'm going to start bowing when I shake.
Okay, so quick, before we go to the news, let me, the other moral dilemma, and this was actually a whole boatload of people, and I don't mean that. Like, there's a ferry from one side of the river to the other, from Camden to Philly, and it was super hot. We're all trying to stand in the shade, and the ticket booth was not open. There were people in line calling the ferry company, yelling at them, and it was great because it was different accents, like an English accent and a Jersey accent. Everyone's angry, and so finally the boat crew comes up, opens the gates and says, don't worry about buying tickets, just buy them on the other side. And we have the wheelchair, so I get down there and I decide to keep the wheelchair close to the front so we can get off first. So we get off and one guy gets past me, and which is fine, and I was going to stop and pay for our tickets, only he walks out the gate and keeps going. And then, and like, nobody stops him. So I started walking too, and then everybody just left. Nobody paid. It should have cost me $28 to get across the river, and nobody, I guess that was their freebie to us. And I didn't put that back in. I bought a nice
It didn't
dinner.
Seem like they were enforcing it.
Yeah, it was weird. But I felt like Griffin was like, are we supposed to pay? And I was just like, I guess not. Oh, well, I do have to pay here. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, playing just a silly version of What Name That Tune with Senator Dan Katowski. I believe Scott's gotten 1 out of 30.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty good, but Dan is saying, I'm nailing everything in the studio. That's a quote.
I can't believe he just... What? You know what? If Mozart was playing, Scott would know.
Yes, if it was Coronation Mass in D minor, which I can sing in the original Latin.
It's perfect that we're talking about music, because we have in studio with us Stacey and Michael, who are here to talk about the Chicago Musical Improv Festival, which is their second year?
Yes, our second year.
Come closer to the microphone, Stacey.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, it's our second year. We started last year in the beginning of August, and we're back at I.O. the 25th to 28th.
And what was the sort of genesis for having this festival?
I think that just in the last... I've been here for about 7 years, and the last, 5 years, musical improv has become such a huge thing. It's just been booming because of the classes at all the different theaters, and there were so many teams, and I just feel like there was a need for it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael, and how did you get involved? Are you performing? Are you afraid to talk because your microphone's
no,
whistling?
No, it's good now. There was some, you know, wires crossed. And yeah, we got it covered.
The senator walked over like he knew what he was doing, and I was impressed.
I was really impressed. I was like, he knows exactly what's going on.
That's public service.
And I was like, yeah. Thank you so much. Was it the AV club? Did they not let you into the AV club?
No, it's just whatever I can to make sure Patty shows success. Nothing to do with me.
I love it. You said they have a lot of teams, and tell us a little bit about what you mean by teams, because not everybody's familiar with improv shows.
Oh, sure. So there's just a ton of ensembles, musical improv ensembles now in Chicago. So just there's a training centers at Second City at IO. There's classes at this new musical comedy live theater.
Which you've been to, MCL.
Yeah, MCL. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now so many teams have been formed, like ensembles have been formed through those different training programs, and we have 40 teams coming in from all over the nation.
And it's some of it, I know what you're asking, I think I know what you're asking about the word team, because some of it's like, oh, this is just a full-fledged show. Like Vamp is musical improv, right?
Right.
And that's a show, but in these festivals, it's just easy to call them all teams. Like Anarchy Improvised Rock Opera will be there, and that's that's a team performing, the CDC, Comedy right. Dance Collective. So it's a weekend filled with different teams and shows Thursday through Sunday, two theaters for most of the weekend, and some shows extending to a third theater.
Yeah.
Right, cause it sounds so competitive when you say teams. That's why I was, instead of troops or groups or.
Troops. I guess you kind of interchange them.
Right.
Troops makes it seem kind of Shakespearean, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think of Boy Scouts.
Or military.
I think
yeah.
of Boy Scouts.
Exactly.
See, but I was thinking of a.
It's like you're getting a merit badge.
O-U-P-E, not T-R-O-O-P.
But T-R-O-U-P-E is how we spelled our theater troupe in high school.
Yeah. Do you spell it theater or do you spell it theater or theatre?
I do E-R and then
I do E-R.
A-I a lot.
Or theater with no H.
And prior to the A-O teeter. Yeah. That works too.
Good stuff.
That's all good stuff. And IO is has got a great new location too.
Yeah,
they?
It's fantastic. It's 1501 North Kingsbury. It's right over by that giant Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm. I know it.
So it's like great. You improvise and then buy $20 salad.
Get some and the movie theater. Yeah. Like it's, swanky movie theater over there now too.
Oh, Arclight is right over there. That whole New City complex.
It's called New City. And you look at it and you're like, yeah, this is from the future. Like this, it's really nice.
Yeah.
I have not been over there. I mean, I've been to the IO, but I don't like look around the neighborhood. It's just, there's a guy, is he just knocking on the window? Okay.
What's up, man?
Hey! I'm so easily distracted.
Red Bull!
Yeah, right.
Squirrel! Love that drink! Sorry.
Stop it. No, that area has been, I think it's sort of stopped, it started and stopped for decades of development, right? You have on North Avenue, the Crate and Barrel, and all,
yeah.
like the...
Yeah.
Uncle Julio's, right? Mm-hmm. Hacienda. It is good, but for the love of God, if people could just pull in the parking lot or pull out of the parking lot like a normal mm-hmm. human being.
It is the most traffic out of one restaurant.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And I don't know if is it the incline of the driveway to the parking lot where they just can't figure out how to maneuver their way?
It's definitely the incline.
It's the incline. It's a 35. It really needs to be closer to a 27.
Right.
You know?
I was measuring it the other day. I'm like,
with them?
This incline Hello? Is crazy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. He's a physicist.
Yeah.
He is at Northwestern. He's a physicist grad student at
that's
Northwestern.
That's awesome.
I always have a protractor. It's an app.
It's an app.
You sit on there. And the angle on the phone. It's fine.
No, seriously, is there an app for that?
No, I don't have that, but I'm going to. Hey,
sure
no one steal that.
No.
They're going to be like, are you playing Pokemon Go? No, I'm trying to determine the angle of this
the incline of this.
This is really great.
Just seeing if my, eight-wheeler can ride this legally. So
see now, Scott, you want to have an app that has a protractor built in and a compass.
Absolutely.
Would you need a compass?
Oh gosh, yeah. I have the compass app.
I didn't know how to use a protractor when it was just a plastic thing. I don't know why an app would help me.
No,
I would hold it and be like, "What is
the jocks
this?"
Would just beat the
circle.
Hell out of me when because I was such a geek with that with the protractor.
Oh my! And the compass though, it had a stabby end to it.
They did.
It's fantastic.
Oh yeah. Terrifying.
Do they allow those in schools?
I was just wondering the same thing.
I just all of a sudden struck me. My God, they don't have those.
I was
anymore.
A little frightened by that one. Stabbing motion that Fanny went through.
They were good for drawing circles and. Right. Hurting enemies.
Yeah, right.
And then
or shredding your paper if you couldn't do it.
You did it the opposite way, and you're like, no, the point stays still.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't cut a circle.
Exactly.
You draw a circle.
People are like, what's wrong with you?
It just danced around.
That led to the stabbing in our school.
You cut a circle out.
Yay.
Well, I was trying to give you the 3D version of it.
So how do we start?
Why go one-dimensional when you can go all the way?
I stop at three dimensions.
Whatever it takes. Did you ever use a protractor and a compass?
Of course. Right, still then. Do.
Do you for drawing?
Yeah, I do. I draw by hand. I still do ink on paper. It's very quaint.
It's very quaint.
Look at your drawings now. Scott is the cartoonist for the cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Oh, so awesome. Whenever you see those.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Yes. So I do use a compass to make circles. I do. That's true.
I just thought it was all free. And now I'm intrigued, and I can't decide how I feel about it. Well, I can't decide if I'm...
Think about
I'm
it.
I'm an unbeliever.
Sleep on it.
I'm an unbeliever. How many groups do you have performing at the Chicago Musical Improv Festival?
We have exactly 36 groups.
Wow.
Nice. Different groups. Yeah.
From all over the nation, yeah. From We've got some New York, L.A.,
New York, L.A., Pittsburgh, Boston, yeah. San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of Chicago represented.
Kansas City. Yeah.
Really?
I
don't know why that surprises me.
Kansas City?
Yeah.
Of course. Why wouldn't they want to sing and improvise in Kansas City?
How about Des Moines? Anybody from Des Moines?
No, I just don't seem that interesting.
No,
but,
we try so hard. We put ads in to try to get people from Des Moines specifically.
They're recruiting.
They just won't show up.
Well, that lends me to think about another question about diversity, because that's something I've noticed a lot in Chicago when it comes to improv. I've asked this of other groups as to why there isn't more people of color, and they say when somebody shows a lot of talent, they get scooped up by the groups
immediately.
Like Second City and Improv.
Yeah,
so it's more of a need for more then. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think so, absolutely.
And I don't know how you start this program. Why are you confused?
No, I was just thinking, wouldn't you find even if people weren't as they get scooped up, wouldn't there be other people who are just
fill that place?
Yeah, wouldn't be enough people. And
I think it comes down to geographical locations for different. People of color and ethnicities, and then also like social structure, class types. Some people don't go in certain areas. Some people don't watch certain entertainment. So maybe not.
Yeah.
But it's to me, I've learned from a dear friend, Sheena Laird, that if it's just a lot of hard work, if you want to represent Chicago, you need all those opinions.
Well, and you make a good point about something you're exposed to. Because how did you, when you growing up, what informed you when it came to improvisation and sketch comedy?
I watched SNL late night eating a bowl of ice cream by myself from like 8 years on.
That's what I do now.
Yeah.
Right. And I would say, I mean, and I know this sounds like, not that people of color can't go, oh, I want to be on that show. But when you don't see representation of you on that show, there's never been a female Latina on Saturday Night Live. And not at all. Or Asian.
Once you see it, though, it is kind of like a...
But somebody has to be the first, or somebody has to be compelled. Sketch was, I don't play as well with others sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So and I also don't sing. That is a crucial component of singing is the biggest thing when it comes to, for what held me back was I can't sing and don't have I have a lot of fear when it comes to singing in public, and partly because of my studying sketch comedy.
I think there's absolutely a lot of groups that are coming there. There are members that are part of a musical team that can't sing
right
as well,
right?
But
you have
it's
the
all
confidence
about the
to do.
Confidence
to sell
and commitment.
It's also a commitment to character, because when you commit to the character, then that whatever you sing it then becomes.
So you're suggesting, like, once you get at a higher level, they're saying there's another talent. We're going to need you to perform.
Yep. Yeah,
we need you to sing. And what got you here?
It's part of the training in Chicago.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
the musical
absolutely.
Component?
Because in any big resident stage review, there's always
at least one or two songs, maybe more, depending on the cast.
In every single review.
See, I went to like three different levels at Second City, and we didn't sing at all.
Well,
we were the non-singing troupe. You were asked not to sing.
The teacher looked at you and immediately
it was the NST.
Yes, they are not.
You over
be
there
singers.
Can't sing.
No,
you rap.
You're the
rapper.
I mean, we have a little of everything too in the festival. We have improvised spoken word. We have an improvised dance troupe.
Praise, right? Is the improvised spoken word?
Preach, yeah.
Preach, sorry. I haven't seen them yet. I'm really excited to see them.
They're fantastic.
I can't wait.
Do you watch every show?
I mean, we're not physically able to because they are in 2 to 3 theaters at a time. So it's like, I mean.
But I watched every single submission for the festival.
Really?
So I've seen every single group.
How many submissions did you get?
Oh, goodness. Probably like close to 90.
Wow.
Yeah, we had to turn away a lot of groups this year.
That's good.
It was very sad, but very exciting.
When you say a submission, is it just a videotape?
They send like a 25 to 30 minute full set of a show that they've done before. And improv is such a weird thing to judge.
Completely.
But if you can see, the number one thing I look for is fun. Mm-hmm. If they're having fun, like there's a lot of groups that are maybe not the strongest trained singers, but if they have like a great group mind and group experience and they're just having a blast, like that is the kind of energy that I want at the festival. Hmm. Like, that's what we focus on, especially for the early years.
And that'll be the energy you find at Chicago Musical Improv Festival. And that's next week, August 25th through the 28th at I.O. How can people get tickets?
They can go to ChicagoMusicalImprovFestival.com.
Wonderful. Go there. We're more with our guests when we come back. I want to find out who's watching the Olympics, by the way. I just, do you mind if we talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at her. Her face
I'm so excited.
More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Really, I have more fun at my job than anybody should possibly ever have. Air guitar and drums. I like you like double. Like I don't even know what was happening. You were banging the drums with your guitar. Go ahead.
No.
Nope. All right, you're done. We are hanging out with our friends Scott Santas, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Senator Dan Katowski.
He's the guy.
He's the, and then the other guy.
He's the guy. Guy. He's the cartoonist.
You're so Chicago, Senator.
I'm so Chicago.
You're so Chicago. We also have Stacey. What's your last name? I don't
Smith.
Mean it. Stacey Smith.
No, what's your real name?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, checking into hotels is making... not. Do you hate that when you, they're like, no, really?
It really is.
Yeah. I see.
She, I'm sad Scott, now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Scott upset her. Yeah. Come on, it's a real
I'm
name.
Sorry.
She's gonna make you work for.
Come on, Scooter.
You have to work for it now.
Scooter,
and you have to draw me.
that's you sure you want
draw me?
She's great.
Are you listening, Janine? Yeah. Draw me.
Draw me. I like that.
You'll be like one of your French girls.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, no.
That's exactly. Okay. That's where my brain went. Stacey.
I'm going to sleep now.
Oh, well, I can still draw you then.
He goes, you do smell good, because I had mentioned that she smelled good. And he goes, I got to smell you. That's always what a woman wants to hear when she meets a man.
Great first impression. You're killing it. You are
killing it. Explains the whole do not date list I was on during high school.
Can I smell you? Yeah, just smell like Emerald.
You smell like happy.
We'll fix all this in post, everybody. Everyone that's listening, you won't remember any of this tomorrow.
I hope we will.
We have a pair of tickets to give away for the Chicago Musical Improv Festival. Let me say that a little more clearly for everyone. It is the Chicago Musical Improv Festival at I.O. starting next week, August 25th is next Thursday.
Yeah.
Through Sunday the 28th.
Yep.
We have a pair of tickets for any of the shows? Or what do you want?
Yep, they could come to see any show of their choosing.
And how long do shows go? How long is it like?
So we have like four slots a night, and two groups are in each slot in two different theaters.
Okay.
So
it's a lot.
Whatever that math is, Michael.
Are you looking at me? It's 16 a night then?
You're the mathematician.
Since we've been playing.
We need a protractor to see this. Yeah.
What's the angle of the show that they
right.
presented
at? 312-981-7200, since it is a musical improv comedy show, a festival.
Yeah.
I'm going to have listeners, since we've been doing this with our guests in studio, I'm going to play something. 312-981-7200, name that tune. You, Senator, keep your mouth closed.
That's right.
You keep your mouth, Overbite Air, keep your mouth closed.
Overbite Air.
Overbite Air. All right, here we go. So I'm going to play this one. So 312-981-7200, how many pairs of tickets do you have? Just one pair?
No, two pairs.
Two pairs, all right. So this is the first one. Let's go with this. Stop it! You can't mouth it either. 312-981. Do you like that? Do you like what I did there? 312-981-7200. Name that tune for a pair of tickets to see a show at the Chicago Musical Improv Festival. 312-981-7200. That was kind of fun. Did you see what I did there? I like how much the senator liked that. And don't, even when you mouth, the people watching, maybe.
People watch, what are they seeing?
They see you mouthing.
You mouthing the lyrics?
Yes.
I love it. They're
saying that guy speaks out of the side of his mouth. I can't
remember. By the way, this is a contest I would not win, so I kind of feel like I have to give away the next pair of tickets differently because for those who are not musically inclined, I wouldn't have known it. Would you have known it? Matthew knows. Hey, Matthew, what was that? Name that tune.
Suicide Line.
There you go. And the man. See, I wouldn't know.
Unmistakable. Unmistakable.
All right, we've got a pair of tickets for you to go see the Chicago Musical Improv Festival next week.
Yay, we're clapping for you.
Rest in peace, Michael Hutchence. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Oh, baby.
Well, don't get mad at me about it.
I was mad at you, but I just wanted to.
Matthew's going to get. We're going to.
I appreciate
his information.
That. Thank you. Okay. I feel informed.
And then Craig will email it to me, and I'll email that to you guys. Perfect. How should I give away the next pair of tickets? Any requests? Do you want another song?
How about a line from a movie, a scene from a movie that you
got,
guess?
Do you have a line?
Huh?
He's going to perform the entire movie.
Even do the line.
Yes.
Google something on your phone and then give me
draw me like one of your French girls
Google
is an easy
famous
one.
We do usually read some, but I was just saying you could just play like.
I don't have that kind of access over here. I got a lot of music. It's all music
what
right
we
now.
What do we got? We've seen so many.
I don't know. Let me see if I have any. I don't. Maybe there's something in Nick D's. Let's see if he's got anything. No, no, that's all his stuff. Here, how about this one? Here, 312-981-7200. What's this from? What's here? I will do what's that from right here. 312-981-7200. What's this from for a pair of tickets to the Chicago Musical Improv Festival? You guys got so excited. Look, they wouldn't be able to get this for Tom.
Oh, I know this.
I know this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just needed it to kick in.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
I waited. Fives. Five something.
981-7200. Even though Scott gave it away, if you want a pair of tickets to the Chicago Musical Improv Festival, give us a call. We have a pair of tickets for you. For the
sorry.
It was him.
Sorry.
I know.
Have you ever seen this show?
I have.
Yeah, I used to.
All right. Hold on 1 second. We have a listener who called in. I just got, I went through his, see, and we also, this, there's also this song too, but this is music. This is creepy. Do you know what this is from? What's that from? 312-981-7200.
Mike Madigan's theme song.
Ooh. 312-981-7200. What's that from for a pair of tickets to the Chicago Musical Improv Festival?
You know, we'll find something you're bad at.
Don't make me keep playing this. I will keep playing this until someone calls and guesses it. Yes, 312-981-7200.
Thurpin has died of all of you. That Thurpin has called.
This is bad. This is bad for people's bedtime, isn't it?
Yes, it's
no, it's this is the last thing you listen to.
This is bad at any time of day.
Nightmares.
Let's be real.
Nightmares.
If you're having brunch, like, why would you listen to this?
It's not good brunch music. You're right. This is terrible.
It's terrible brunch music.
Here, would you like some runny eggs?
Oh, wow. Now the phone lines light up. I don't know if it's like to ask me to stop playing it.
Stop playing it. I'm afraid. Please. My kids are crying.
Yeah. Julie, what's that music from? Hey, Julie.
From The Omen.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you calling because you both knew and wanted me to make it stop? I'm playing with Nick D's buttons right now. I'm enjoying it. Really Julie, cool. We have a pair of tickets for you for the Chicago Musical Improv Festival. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's scary. I make that noise when I want to be creepy. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
That's so creepy.
Did Patty just sing something?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, my goodness.
Hurry, let's lift her up so she does it more.
Patty, I thought you were one of the Shirelles when you were doing that. See, ooh,
yeah, that's
Nick,
that's easy.
Oh, that's better. Nick, yeah. Oh, I know what that
that's
is.
That's too easy.
I know what that is.
I do, yeah.
Someone's got to play something positive.
Nick T has all the creepy music. Here,
he
about
have
this?
A lot of creepy music.
Let me tell you this. The older you do get, the more rules you're going to try.
I got
to
stop. I'm
playing that's great.
It's Matthew McConaughey.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Don't run.
All right. Just being silly. Michael Silver and Stacey Smith, thank you so much for joining. I have to wrap up because I have 45 minutes of interviews that I pre-recorded today with Ralph Macchio and
ooh,
Jason Mewes.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so
fun. That's all coming up because they're at Wizard World this weekend. But you guys have your festival opening next week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tell us more information. Go ahead.
Thursday through Sunday, the 25th through the 28th, and we have groups from all over the nation. Mm-hmm. Almost 40 groups.
Everything from improvised dance and games, short form, long form stuff, improvised Sondheim, which is really awesome. That's a local group. Improvised rock operas. We have, it's anything under the gamut.
Improvised
check out the website.
Musical.
Yeah, improvised puppet musical. Everything. Check out the website for descriptions.
And the website is?
ChicagoMusicalImprovFestival.com.
Excellent. And Scott, are you staying for last call or are you heading out of here?
I'm going to
bedtime.
Out.
All right. And people can find you.
At ChicagoTribune.com/Stantis or ScottStantis.com or GoComics.com/PrickleyCity or go to WGN Plus and look at the Prickly City podcast.
This is overwhelming.
Senator, are you staying for last call or are you?
No, but you can reach me at Dan Katowski. Dan Katowski dot dot dot.
All right.
No, but I will not be staying. But
right.
Dan Katowski at ChildServe, www.childserve.org.
And we can leave the E off?
Because our work is not done yet.
You're listening pretty late, and I'm really nervous because I grew up. I we're not that far apart in age, so I'm excited to have Ralph Macchio in the studio with me. I just read earlier that you read The Outsiders when you were 12. Is that about
yes.
right?
Yes, I did.
And so did I. And it was one of my favorite books. We also have in studio with us Dr. Charles Turk, who I invited because he interviewed some of our guests last year for Wizard World, and always has something different to bring.
Oh, that's good, because I didn't know this, so I thought I was going to be broken down medically or mentally.
No, doctor of pharmacy, so we'll just talk about the drugs that you're on.
That's good. That's good. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, I've got some Zantac. Does that count?
Okay.
You're in Chicago for Wizard World, and I know that people gush all the time when they see you. You get a lot of gushing. There has to be.
Some gushing. At Wizard World, at the Comic-Cons, yeah, because the fans, you know, it's a real fan experience, so that's part of it. So it's a good give back. It's better than not gushing or being annoyed.
Right, or being ignored.
Or being ignored.
You won't be ignored.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're a dad, and I wonder how much that has changed the way you look at fans coming up to you. When you see your kids sort of grabbing onto something that they really love, does that have an effect on the way you approach fans?
That's a great question. I think the thing that gets me most excited about doing the Comic-Cons and meeting the fans are the kids, because not only they're so wide-eyed and excited, but more so it solidifies the truth that the legacy of some of these films, say, you know, for Outsiders, Karate Kid, My Cousin Vinny, or whatever, that they share those experiences with their parents, and so that's going to carry on. Or whether, like a guest spot on How I Met Your Mother, a lot of these kids say, oh, I loved you on How I Met Your Mother, and then I saw the Karate Kid movie, because they hadn't seen it to that point.
Right.
So I think it resonates for me now as a parent to I do the same thing with my kids. I just watched Stand By Me with my son the other day.
Right.
He'd never seen that film. I said, you have to watch. This is a great coming-of-age, father-son kind of movie. You know, so I got to re-experience that film that I saw four times in the movie theater in 1980, whatever, mm-hmm. with my son. So I think that's part of it, and that's why I thought that's a good question.
Well, and the Karate Kid, when you talk about re-experiencing something with your kids, watching that with my son, who is 12, he's into martial arts, and one of the reasons I got him involved with that was, I think, because of Daniel LaRusso. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that I knew that you know, that my son might have, when he was five, it was clear that he was always kind of, his imagination was much bigger than people would ever understand, you know,
right.
Because he was always kind of distracted by storytelling in his head. And I knew that he might be vulnerable to bullies or kids mm-hmm. that would pick on him. So I think that you know, there's an empowering element to, you know, Daniel LaRusso sort of being able to stand up for himself.
Right.
Against all odds.
Right. Well, that, you know, that character has, you know, grown beyond belief of
yes.
when we just made this movie and thought maybe it might be pretty cool and survive the summer with, you know, Ghostbusters being the big hit that year.
I didn't even realize those came out the same year.
Yeah, same year, same studio. It was Columbia Pictures. And Karate Kid was this sleeper that just kept going and going and going, and over time became pop culture. And now we're talking 32 years later, which is ridiculous. How could that be? I'm only 27.
Yeah, right.
You know, it shaped a lot of childhoods, you know, a lot of, in a way, people related to this character, whether it was a fish out of water element, whether it was a child of a single parent scenario.
Right.
Everybody wants their little human Yoda, Mr. Miyagi, to give them, you know, to help navigate through that part of adolescence, or someone moving for, you know, a different town. Feeling the outsider. How about that?
Together,
outsider.
Yeah.
So it does connect in that way, and it really doesn't offend anybody. It is very empowering. I guess it offends bullies.
Right, you know? Yeah.
They're offended.
And they should take it.
Right.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, it is life-affirming, empowering,
yes.
And it becomes, it works on a human level, that story, as much as we have all the get them a body bags and catching flies with chopsticks and waxing on, waxing off and whatever, sweep the legs. It's really about the human. It works on a human level, you know, and that's why the film has stood the test of time.
You know, what's interesting is you talk about it being a sleeper hit, and you know, and I'm sure that you've heard several stories like this from fans. But I mean, certainly, from what I understand, there was an explosion of interest in martial arts mm-hmm. training from kids who were interested, who idolized your character, Danny LaRusso, and certainly I can I can identify with that. My friends and I certainly participated in martial arts training. I think after that movie came out, although I wasn't aware of a phenomenon sweeping the nation, we simply liked the movie.
I had a dollar for every kid who took martial
arts. Yeah, certainly. You know, I've no doubt about that. But I have a question that's sort of similar to Patty's, and it has to do with with your role as a father now, although less to do with people coming up to you as fans, has to do with your role as an actor and a director and just a creator, as a creator. How does your role as a father inform your work?
Well, I think. It depends on what the piece is. I mean, certainly from an actor's from the acting side of it, you know, if I'm playing a father or if I'm playing a mentor now, which is kind of fun because I've always played the student, or I did for a long time. I think it informs in that way because having portrayed the students in certain films like Crossroads and Karate Kid for that matter. Playing the mentor or the father figure, I sort of understand from being on the flip side of that. I mean, we all do as now adults because we grew through it. I think, you know, my sensibilities as a father and as a parent, I think gives information to the portrayal of the character. I mean, now I'm playing a character who's a vice cop in 1970s New York City. He's not a father, so I would say in that case it's not really informing that character, but it's like anything else you experience in life. You take those experiences and you try to be as truthful to you can as you can to, you know, the dialogue and the portrayal of the character. I just think as you get older, you know, and you gain wisdom, or you like to believe you do, that informs everything you do in life, in work, and in life.
And so in some ways, it may not even necessarily be a direct, you know, directly informing you, but sort of, you know, even indirectly. I mean, you sort of gradually evolved, I think, as a human being, perhaps.
Right. I think it does. I mean, in films, I've directed two short films, one called Across Grace Alley, with Marsha Mason and Karina Smirnoff, my partner from Dancing with the Stars, and another one called Love Thy Brother, and they both dealt with adolescent coming of age. One was a comedy, one was a dramatic musical, sort of dramatic piece, and the parental side of me informed a lot of that work because I was working with young kids, you know, 12, 13 years old, and so it, to answer your earlier question, a lot of how I approached that and told those stories, wrote those stories and created that environment for those young actors was from a parental perspective. Interesting.
And you're doing Wizard World this weekend. How much have you been involved with doing the conventions, the Comic-Cons?
The last couple of years, more so. They've become very – I've sort of figured out how I get a lot from it and the fans get a lot from it. When you first look at them, it's just a packed convention house. Yes. It's a lot of noise, a lot of people, and a lot of crowd control.
Yes.
And sort of you usually want to run in the other direction. Mm-hmm. But when you come from a perspective like I do, and you see how happy it makes everyone.
Right.
I like taking that time. I like giving little pieces, tidbits of information that they could take that they didn't expect, as opposed to let's take a picture, let's sign an autograph. And that inspires me because they light up when, you know, and I get, you know, whether I get the grandmothers from Dancing with the Stars or the 6-year-old kids who put their headband on and want to show me their crane kick, or the girls who come up at 17 years old with the book The Outsiders and I write Stay Gold and then have to tell them that I am married and I could be their grandfather. The amount of Christmas cards that come out of it. You take the family shot and boom, they put it up and that's their Christmas card. It's a give back. I get as much out of it as they do. And it also helps carry on the legacy of some of these films and some of these roles that I've done, and it also branches out on the new stuff that I'm doing, the new work. And that's the first thing they say: when's the next thing? What's coming up? And I let them know, and before you know it, on social media, they're all telling their friends this show is coming out, and I met Ralph the other day, and I can't wait to watch it. So you can self promote current work and yet embrace the nostalgia of which they're built on. So I figured out a way that I really enjoy it, and they get a lot out of it. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Right, because it's important to protect that part of yourself, I think, when you're involved in that, when you're somebody that we look up to and have for so long.
Yeah. And everyone's, I mean, I think maybe years back there was a stigma to these sort of Comic-Cons. That is not the case anymore. I mean, if you look at the lineup that's coming this weekend and the caliber of folks from yesteryear and today, you use it to promote current work as well as talk about what got you there in the first place. And it's pretty impressive.
Well, let's talk a little more in a moment. We'll take a quick break and find out what is coming up next with Ralph Macchio. He's at the Wizard World this weekend. What days are you at the...
I'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
The whole weekend?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I might wear a Batgirl costume. I'm not sure what I'm wearing yet. I like to dress up. My son and I like to dress up for it.
That's part of the fun.
It is.
As long as I could just dress up as me and not have to do anything else. Let you guys dress up as
and I think we all
characters.
We appreciate you just the way you are. Believe
all right.
me. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and I've just been telling our guest, Ralph Macchio, how nervous I am, and I'll say it over and over. It's so bizarre. I heard you on Bill and Wendy, and someone said they had found their Tiger Beat and had that sheet of all the things. I had all those. You were in my locker.
Crazy time.
You know, changing classes, and I'm like, there's Ralph.
Yes.
We also joined by Dr. Charles Turk, who is, you know, joining us on the conversation, and you mentioned that Wizard World is an opportunity to let people know what's coming up next for you. So what is coming up next?
Well, right now I've been shooting a show called The Deuce for HBO. I don't know when it's going to air. It'll be sometime in 2017. It's a new David Simon series.
Oh,
he did The Wire
what?
And Homicide: Life on the Street. It's very cool. The headliners are James Franco and Maggie Gyllenhaal. I play a vice cop. This is in 1971 42nd Street, when 42nd Street wasn't Disneyland like it is now. And I can't go into much detail on top of that just because HBO is very specific about us not talking about the show more than what they've just announced. But, you know, I have a recurring role. I've done about four of the what will be a total of eight episodes in the first season. And I think they have, you know, a long-term look at multiple seasons if it takes off.
That's
so
great.
It's very, very exciting, cool role for me. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also working on something, a short content comedy thing for television that's pretty close to getting the green light, but I can't really pitch it till it's...
Sure.
You got, because it's all virtual maybe. Till it's on the air.
I know. I know you start out with something like it's so quick and furious, and then you're so excited about it. But
you got to get to the point where you actually have an air.
Cameras
date.
Are rolling.
Otherwise,
yeah.
To tell the fans that, and then then I have to keep going to Wizard World Comic Cons, and they say, so when's that show that you said was going to be on? So and then they just killed it, and you got to.
Yeah.
So it's better to know you got something in the can. And there's
can
a, few other things,
yeah.
a few other things. A few other things going on as well.
Yeah, no.
Really soon.
Yeah, and people don't get that sort of, you know, it seems like a minor thing to people. Oh, you know, you're successful and you've got, all, you know, you don't have a hard job. People are just asking. Well, but it's 1,000 people asking.
Yes.
Right? It's over and over.
Thousands
repeatedly. So just stop asking. He's telling you the good stuff. Charles, did you have...
Oh, yeah. So your present project, I mean, you grew up in the, or at least you were born in New York.
In New York, in the burbs of New York, though, not New York City.
Got it. Okay. So are you drawing on some of it? How long were you in the New York area before I assume you relocated at some point?
I'm always New York.
Oh, you are?
Oh. Always. I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I lived there for 2 years, 80 and 81.
Got it.
It didn't take.
When I was on eight is enough, or as I say, nine was too many. See, another laugh. The next station's going to hear the joke. It works every time. But I tested. I used it, so you responded well. So I was I lived in L.A. during that time.
I'd assume that you had relocated at some point, you know, sort of when, as your career was growing and burgeoning.
I could have and maybe should have during the lean years, but I chose to keep one foot in and one foot out. I always lived back in my home base area, just
A lot of times, that's a lot of times how they feel. I mean, you can't really.
You do lose opportunities by not being in it all the time, and I probably did, but at the end of the day, as they say, it's a trade-off.
But don't you think you kind of protect yourself?
Yep,
your soul, really. I mean, to be where you know everything.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how I feel about Chicago.
Yeah. For me, it was all about sports. I was, you know, Mets, Jets, Islanders. I can't be in L.A. and root for the Kings and the Dodgers. Can't happen.
It makes complete sense.
You know, and that's, you know, so I'm a sports guy as well.
And how much of your role as a police officer in the new series has to do with having been on Psych?
Psych was great.
Oh, my God. I screamed. I screamed when I was like, because I didn't see any of the promos.
Yeah. It was so fun. Those guys are great. James Rodet and Dulé Hill. They're awesome. And so I got to do two episodes. I got to do the Police Academy episode and the remake episode, Cloudy with the Chance of Improvement, where I poked fun at my cousin Vinny. It's very cool because that show did a beautiful job of peppering all that 80s
nostalgia.
Pop nostalgia and really being smart about it. And the project that I mentioned, the comedy, short content comedy thing that I'm working on, has elements of that, I'm hoping. So you'd be really smart and just draw on some of that nostalgia.
Well, and the timing you had in that episode in the Police Academy one was just delightful.
He's such a
so
doofus
good.
Character.
So cute,
so
though.
So hard-ass, and at the end was just a mush bag. Couldn't even... It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was really wonderful. And I have to tell you, you mentioned Crossroads earlier. We had in studio last night Wayne Baker Brooks, who's a son of Lonnie Brooks, and he wanted me to mention how much he enjoyed that film.
That's cool. Well, listen, we're Chicago, Blues Town, you know? I mean... Chicago was mentioned in that movie a bunch, even though Crossroads was mainly Mississippi and all that, the Robert Johnson, before electricity, before Muddy Waters invented electricity, as they said.
Right.
That was the line from the movie. It's great. We get a lot of shade. I'm sure I'm going to hear a lot of Crossroads and get a lot of people with Crossroads pictures this weekend because, you know, after all, we're in Chicago.
Are there roles that you have... You know, that you filled that you're surprised when someone latched onto that one in particular, because there's a Karate Kid, there's Johnny, Johnny Boy.
Those are the main, Karate Kid, Johnny and the Outsiders, my cousin Vinny. But Crossroads comes up a lot more than people would think. Because, first of all, if you're from the music world, musicians, that film, they'll watch the final duel of that movie and just. Being able to master that Eugene Bag of Tricks guitar duel is a plateau for guitar players around the world. It's unbelievable. So I'm not so sure if I think of, you know, I think those are the ones. But Crossroads probably on the outskirts of the ones that's not in that has a big cult following.
You know, a couple of things strike me about you and your career. I mean, one of them is that you have a great sense of humor about it. I mean, you talk about having sort of poke fun of your character on My Cousin Vinny. And I know, too, that you had made a Funny or Die video.
The greatest Funny or Die video ever. Wax on, F off.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, which is great. So, so now you've made fun of, or poked fun at two of your characters.
Right.
You've got a great sense of humor about it. And we talked a little bit earlier, too, about some of the parallels between, some of your on-screen experience and also just sort of living through life as well. And I was kind of curious, too. I did some reading about maybe your relationship, and I was wondering if I could ask about your relationship, sort of on-screen and off, with Pat Morita.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he plays your sensei in Karate Kid. And had you spoken briefly at his funeral?
Yes.
I think that I'd read that you'd said that he was your forever sensei.
Yeah, I thought that was just a line that came to me that made sense. And obviously the press and anyone else picked up on it, and it paid off exactly how I'd hoped. He there was a magic there that's, I call it soulful magic, because that's what a lot of that film had. When people ask me about the remake versus that movie, that's the big difference.
Right.
One of the big differences. But I think – you know, you could try to cast that. You could try to create that. You could, it either happens or it doesn't. That sort of magic of those two characters on screen that becomes part of pop culture. And so we had that. It was it just was very easy to work with him, and creating those characters. Over the years, we would stay in touch. He was always better at staying in touch than I was.
Well,
he was older, wiser, and I was, you know. But about a year before he passed away, they did a thing at Lincoln Center, the Asian American Association. I forget exactly what it's called, but they gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and he asked that I do his intro speech. And I did, and it was at Lincoln Center, at, just spectacular. It was the first time we were seen on stage in 20 years. The place went insane. But I got to say everything I would ever want to say.
Oh, that's
lovely. And it was quite beautiful. And so when he passed away, I felt comforted by the fact that I got to say all those things, because that's years later, 20 years later, 19 years later at that point, and the film came out, that I was able to look back and sort of recognize what a blessing and privilege it was. And so my forever sensei is probably less about him necessarily being that in my personal life, even though he was a close friend and someone I regarded, but more about how in everybody's hearts and minds and vision, mm-hmm. he'll always be the sensei to my alter ego character. So that's, and it's, I appreciate you bringing that up. And it was quite poignant and has stood in the press. And it's nice when something good is caught by the press.
I think part of what's so sweet about that too is part of what I've read is that there was some, I think he had some difficulty landing that role.
And yes.
I think the director of the movie wanted him, and the, one of the
And the producers did not.
Exactly.
Who did they want?
They wanted, at first it was Toshirô Mifune, the great Japanese actor from all the Akira Kurosawa films. Mm-hmm. And he was very good. I didn't read with him. He was very good, but he was very serious. And he didn't speak English. I mean, he barely spoke English.
Right.
So he was very broken. And Pat Morita was a case of typecast. You don't want Arnold from Happy Days. You don't want this stand-up comic from the Catskills playing this great character. And it was just, and so I understand that. And then because I get that, well, you know, he's great. We know Ralph, but we don't want him for this because he was that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just part of it. And I was the same way. Arnold from Happy Days. Oh, this is going to be a disaster. You know, what did I know? Meanwhile, he's nominated for an Oscar in a role that that people will remember forever. And it was just the director, credit John Avildsen, took Pat Morita's tape and sat the producer down and said, you know, these are my guys. And the producer watched the tape and said, those are the guys.
So I think that's part of what made what you said so wonderful afterwards. So
no,
I mean,
it's great
kudos
stuff.
To you.
Great stuff, man.
Well, I know that you have other stops to make. I want to thank you so much for
sharing. This is the only one I'll remember. How's that? I'm just going to get you all rosy cheeks.
Can you put that on a loop for me?
That's great. I had a great time.
Oh,
and,
I appreciate that.
You know, everybody should come down to Wizard World this weekend. Get on out to Rosemont.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's
the whole
right.
weekend.
I'll be there. I'll be there. Looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you so much. We wish you the very best and look forward to having you back.
Great. Thanks, man.
More after this on 720 WGN. It was Ralph Maggio in my studio.
It was so exciting.
All right. I have to carry on. I could hear myself blushing the entire time, Esmeralda. Could you tell? I was so like grade school again, high school, all of it.
It's adorable.
He was very sweet. Oh, all right. You're listening pretty late, and I'm actually up pretty early because Jason Mewes is in town for Wizard World this weekend. Jason, thank you so much. I know that you've got a lot of interviews this morning. So.
Oh, God, whatever. Man, thanks for nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
How long have you been doing the Comic-Cons and conventions like this?
Oh, since, I think, 97 or so.
Wow, for a long time then.
Yeah. Kevin and I used to go to a bunch. Not a bunch, but like 5 or 6 back in 97. I remember going to San Diego for the first time, in Chicago. We did it for about 5 years or so, and then we stopped doing them, and I didn't do them for a long time. And then, I don't know, probably about 7 years ago, I started going back to them and stuff. I don't know.
How much did they change from when you started doing them in the 90s?
Way different. I mean, now it's like, you know, that back then, I feel like most of the conventions were big chunks of, you know, all the vendors were comic books, and not all of them, but a lot of them were comic books. And then there was, you know, the toys and statues. and a little bit of odds and ends. Now it's like, you know, you got all the different panels of the you know, Game of Thrones and all the different stuff. It's just so much bigger. And I think, and even the attendance, like, I just feel like there's so many different, you know, varieties of people. Like, I feel like it just literally was comic book readers and lovers and stuff. Now it's like, you know, you got so many people dressing up and cosplaying and pretty young ladies and pretty handsome young men and, not too young, though. I mean, like, over 18 and stuff. But
sure.
You get, I'm just saying, like, it's now, it's everyone, a lot of people know comics because the movies and the TV shows and all that stuff. So it's a different world. It's Age of the Geek.
And you have a wide range. So you have the purists who really, you know the history of the comic books. And and when they see a movie, they're not quite sure. I mean, have you, I read that you, the role you would like to have is as a superhero.
I would like a superhero. No. Well, because I'm not saying I wouldn't want a place. I would like to jump in. I mean, I'd love to be in every comic book movie and TV show as, you know, maybe a quick cameo thing. I enjoy watching them so much. And I wouldn't want to be a main character because I don't think I'd be able to enjoy. You know, like, I'm super excited for Justice League. It's one of my favorite comics. And it's just, I'm very excited about it. And not to say that if they were like, hey, we want you to play the Flash in Justice League, I would say no. I wouldn't say no, but I'm just saying I honestly don't think I could enjoy it as much if I had to sit there and watch me up on the screen, you know, with the whole running around as much as me watching someone else. But of course, I would ideally like to be like cop number four who gets to fight like, you know, Batman for a scene or two. So we'll see.
Do you get in arguments with people with
we're going to see what happens there.
Yeah, get that done. And so I'm sure you must know somebody that can make that happen. Cop number four, how hard is that to get?
You know, right? It's harder than I guess you think because I was hoping to be in Civil War. And then
have you
Avengers,
floated it, though? Maybe this we'll make sure we podcast
I'm hoping,
this.
Yeah, throw it out there, please.
What do you want fans to know about you? Because I'm sure they come up to you and they act like they already know you.
I think between the podcast and the social media and everything else, yeah, I guess I'm sort of an open book, really. There's really no hidden things. I mean, back in the day, I feel like, you know, I tried to hide my addiction and stuff from people, but even that's out there. So, you know, it's like, I feel like I update people with my what's going on with, you know, daily with my baby and the wife and then like Kevin and I going to do our podcasts and then going to conventions and chatting with people and podcasts and radios and
your role as Jay is so iconic to people from Clerks and Mallrats, and I know that Clerks 3 is in the works.
No. I mean it should be sort of taken down soon enough, but again, it was looking really good and moving forward. But, and I keep saying this, and I don't know if I should be, because again, I don't know the full story. All I know is that Jeff Anderson said he wasn't available to shoot or film for the rest of the year, so that sort of got put on hold. But then, you know, this. This year came around and it doesn't seem like he's available still. So I just don't know what exactly this story is, but I don't, it's sort of been pushed to the side and now it's going to hopefully, the next movie I believe will be Moose Jaws, which is part of the Canadian trilogy Kevin wrote, which is Tusk, Yoga Hosers, which Yoga Hosers comes out
okay.
soon.
Looking forward to Yoga Hosers.
And then Moose Jaws is the third part of that series, the trilogy. And Jay and Bob will be in that. And then also, we were going to do Mallrats movie, and Kevin was talking with Universal about that. Universal has the rights to that, to the movie. And they didn't really want to do it as a movie, and they were thinking about it, and there was some negotiating going on. And then it was mentioned as a TV show, and they're more interested in that. So I don't know, you know, knock on wood that Mallrats may become a TV show. At least shoot a pilot to see how it goes. And so, yeah, so it looks like the next movie will be Moose Jaws with Kevin. And then again, if all goes well, hopefully Mallrats, the TV show. So that's what's up with Kevin. And then, we still do our podcast. And then I'm hoping if all goes, it's looking really good. I don't want to say it's 100%, but in October, I'm hoping I'm going to be directing my first feature movie. So that's very exciting for me.
Well, I think the adventures that we followed through all the movies, whether it was from Clerks, Mallrats, Dogma, I think that people feel like they kind of grew up with you, and sort of as it's impactful. The comedy that you guys brought, you and Kevin Smith, I think really kind of, you know, even the humor, the sort of physical comedy of it, the nature of your character, the things that you say. Is it weird when people come up to you and do impressions of you back to you?
I don't think it's weird. No, not necessarily. Especially at this point, I mean, that's the thing. I feel like usually if someone comes up, it's usually them saying, like, you know, one of the quoting Snooch the Nooch or singing the F song or, you know, whatever it might be. But no, I wouldn't say it's weird. Again, it's flattering to me because, again, it's been almost 25 years, and I can't believe people are still watching it in, like, at these conventions, for example, Wizard World, which I'll be at today and tomorrow, you know, it's crazy because 13 and 14 year olds will come up and be dressed as Jay and Bob, and then there'll be, you know, an 85 year old woman who will come up with her 40 year old daughter, and it's just it's amazing. It's crazy because the range, the age difference for me. It just is amazing because I wouldn't think again that.
Well, because funny is funny. That's the thing. Is if it's universal, it is. Mm-hmm. And that's when we think, when we see someone who's older, we're like, really, you thought that was funny? Mm-hmm. We act as though we invented profanity.
Yeah. Well, I think too, it's just that I think it's that, and then also just that, again, that we haven't shot a movie. It's been a while since we did a Jay and Bob. So again, it's still just amazing that people are still watching it and still talking about the characters. So.
Well, and I know that you have more radio to do. We're so thrilled that you came and stopped by. He is Jason Mewes from, you know, well, we all know him. Clerks, Mallrats, Dogma, Chasing Amy. And, well, you're going to see him this weekend at Wizard World. That's Friday and Saturday at the Donald E. Stephen Convention Center. And I'll see you there. I'll probably be wearing like a Batgirl costume or something.
Nice.
I do the classic.
Do it.
Do from the TV. I promise. Yeah. Have a great weekend. And I hope we get to see you again soon.
Yes, thank you.
That's Jason Mewes. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We usually do a last call here, but Esmeralda, I found a story, and I found out that you and I actually have a last call later than most people do. Not most people, but other people of different ethnic backgrounds, let's put it that way.
Oh, okay.
Latinos age more slowly than the rest of us.
Oh, psh, of course.
And the finding could help us all live longer. You and I could be helping people. I'm only half, so I don't think I get to. I think I don't benefit as much as you do.
Hmm. You know, so I could be the key.
You could be the key to longevity for everyone.
Wow.
There's a new biological clock to discover that Latinos age more slowly than any other ethnic group in the United States.
I mean, people don't think that I am 33, so and they always think I'm younger.
People don't think that I'm 36 either because I'm not. There's that. I have lied about my age since I was. I've been lying about my age since I was 21 years old. So I don't even
really?
Know. Yeah.
I'm like, whatever.
It's more of omission most of the time.
Right. You just don't say anything.
Yeah. And then I lose track. I mean, like last year, you did this. I remember you said you couldn't remember how old you were.
Yeah. I thought I was 31, but I was really 32.
See, this is what I'm saying. We don't even, it's not a thing to us. Maybe that's part of why we don't age as quickly. We just don't. We're not constantly.
Because we're not worried about the number.
No, I mean I'm worried about the number. I just don't tell people about it. I don't harp on. Look, and plus I've lied so many times that I can't. I don't even know anymore.
It's right. No, I do. I do think about it. I've started to do beauty regimes and all that business.
Beauty regimes.
You know,
some toning,
wrinkles,
some
and washing your face.
How about sunscreen?
Yeah.
Yes.
I buy lotion. I buy moisturizer that already has it because I'm too lazy to do an extra step.
Right. Well, and I do that too. I've actually been doing a regime since I was 16 though, because my mom started buying me moisturizers when I was in high school, and like the soaps?
Oh, well, I always had lotion because just that's insane to not put lotion on your face.
I know.
It gets all dry.
It does. My mom started me on Shiseido when I was 16 in high school.
Oh, look at you.
I know. She was all fancy and stuff.
I was Oil of Olay.
Oh, I still use Oil of Olay. I think they make a good sunscreen, too. We do have, now here's the thing. There are figures from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control that says that Latinos in the U.S. live 3 years longer than on the average than Caucasians do, with a life expectancy of 82 compared to 79. That's 3 years. But even though we have higher rates of inflammation and chronic diseases, that doesn't sound good. That sounds painful to live longer with that. But we enjoy a 30% lower risk of death at all ages. I don't know how you have a lower risk of death. I mean, don't we all have a risk of death? I guess it's the extent to which you're going to die. Sometimes these numbers and these studies are perplexing. I'm like, wait, how do you even state that or study that? So they're going to be studying DNA samples from more than 5,000 people of all different ethnicities. And they're trying to use a predicting system to track how a natural process called DNA methylation changes as we grow older. And they have found that Latino bodies are biologically younger than non-Latinos of the same age.
That's interesting. Just because our diets are just... I mean, well, for the most part, it depends. I think people in the Latinos in the U.S. kind of have crap diets.
When it's access to... different kinds of foods.
Yeah, well, not even the McDonald's, but, you know, people using just lard and this and that. And I'm sure they do in Latin American countries, but it's a thing of like, and then they go work somewhere and they're not just sitting on their butt all day.
Right. Well, this is that our, by the way, this is a weird thing to say out loud. Our blood is younger than Caucasians. It's just, we have younger blood.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. By 2 years, even. I thought you looked 2 years younger I thought your blood looked 2 years.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I always, when I see it coming out, when I donate, so young.
How often do you donate?
I haven't. You know what? I donated when what happened in Miami, or what happened in Orlando.
Right.
And then I'm due this month to donate.
Donate again?
Yes.
Do they call you a lot? Because they call me a lot.
No.
Oh, they call me.
No, they haven't called me. They sent me a reminder to come donate, but.
Well, I have a kind of a rare blood type, so I try, and so they're a little aggressive with me.
Well, you should go.
I passed out the last time I went.
They give you cookies.
They do. They give you juice. Yeah, juice and cookies. Why wouldn't you be excited about
that? Orange juice and like varieties of juices and varieties of cookies now.
Mm-hmm.
Savory and sweet. It's wonderful.
Get my coupon to the ice cream shop. They always give me one of those.
See? Mm-hmm. What? Come on. What's a little passing out?
I don't do well with needles. I don't know if it's the I really think it is the sensation of losing blood. That doesn't feel right.
I find it fascinating.
Oh, God.
When it's going through the pipe or tube or whatever it is.
Well, then you should donate platelets. Steve does that. My husband does the platelets, and that's a longer process, and it has to, like, I can't remember what but it's longer and it's more intense.
So. I should. Well, and they say that people of color don't donate
as much
as they should.
So it's more demand.
Right.
Well, here's something. Across ethnicities, men's blood and brain tissue age faster than women's.
That makes sense.
Just because of the stress? I don't know.
I just, I don't know. I've encountered many men that seem...
Adult?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of like, you're really getting into a whole tizzy for no reason. And
well,
I feel like that makes you older.
That's the thing, too. I mean, the brain is also cumulative, whether it's by learning or toxins or, you know, being a healthy lifestyle or an unhealthy lifestyle. And I was talking to somebody about a friend of theirs who's going through cancer treatment. And their friend is elderly, you know, in their 70s. And I was curious about, because, you know, there's now in the state of Illinois access to medical marijuana. And they told me their friend is not, the doctor has not recommended marijuana because they say that PCP settles in the brain of elderly patients more often. And I was like, so you're going to give medical marijuana to younger patients who are battling cancer, but not to older people. They're older. I hate to say, wouldn't it be nice to have less anxiety when you're going through that and be able to endure the pain?
Yeah, well, I would say, I'm like, you're old. Come on, just let them do whatever.
Let the PCP settle.
They're old. They can do whatever they want now.
What's a little PCP in an old brain?
Exactly.
Older brain.
Older brain.
Who knows? Maybe it triggers something. Because I talked to Charles Turk about this, our pharmacist expert, and he was saying that a lot of the studies were sort of sidelined. Federal studies were sort of scuttled to the side, and we don't actually have a full picture of what it does to different ages and based on different treatments that you're getting.
Well, get on that.
I know.
Science people.
Well, they don't, you know, there are a lot of barriers to that. Look at how hard it is to get, a lot of things covered with medical marijuana in the state of Illinois.
That is true. I saw the list. Yeah. Those are really serious diseases.
Yeah.
If you want
in LA,
marijuana.
In LA, if you can't sleep well, they give you.
Oh,
pods.
Yeah. No, I remember going and you just walk down Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just there's a doctor on every corner.
Yeah. Medicinal marijuana everywhere you go. That leaf is everywhere you go. It's amazing. You could just sit. I would go for coffee and everyone would pull out their prescription card for. Yeah.
With your coffee.
Your medical marijuana prescription card. Yeah.
Just, a edible of some sort.
I know. And people are, they've got down to a science. I had a friend who was like, okay, do you want something that's expansive? Do you want your thoughts to sort of be, really creative? Or do you want to just be mellow? Do you have anxiety? I'm like, how many do you get for all this stuff?
Yeah, it's like wine.
It is. What would you say to pair with your tension?
What is the terroir? What is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Right? Terroir.
I don't know.
The dirt.
What's the dirt?
The dirt that it grew in.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, that's right. Yeah. These are things we'll have to learn if it ever becomes legal in the state of Illinois. Well, we're going to wrap up in just a moment on 720 WGN. It's pretty late.